Testing. Hello? Testing. This is a special transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah! Woo!
Good morning, USA. I got a feeling that it's gonna be a wonderful day. The sun in the sky has a smile on his face, and he's shining a salute to the American race. Oh, boy, it's swell to say, good morning, USA.
Whenever I see Miss Cleo's boobs, I go crazy. I just love Miss Cleo's boobs. I love them so much.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
These big cans are one-third larger.
Put them on the glass!
And now...
You're thinking that, you know, you're at the end of your tether now. But what if this is just the beginning of your story?
Then it's a slow start, isn't it?
Our feature presentation.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it's Monday, the 6th of Aprilingus.
We're going to take your phone calls for the Monday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Coming up next, 1-800-520-1067. It's the easiest time all day to get in on the show, so if you got anything you want to talk about, pick up the phone and call now, and you get a prize. Here's my question I need to start with. Who was drunker Friday night?
Wow, that's a tough question.
Ralph, Lisa, or Omar?
Omar.
I don't think there's any question.
Really? You think it's all O?
Well, Omar was scaring people, including Joe Rogan. I don't know if you saw backstage, but at one point I had Omar around the neck and I was trying to pull him away from Rogan. But he has retard strength when he gets drunk, Omar. And he just wanted to talk to Joe Rogan.
What was he talking to him about?
And,
nothing.
Like it makes any difference. The words coming out didn't make any sense. And Joe was looking at him like, wow, you've had a little too much. So I was trying to keep away from Joe. And that wasn't working. And then Ralph was threatening to anally rape me, I believe.
Oh, my God.
Pretty sure that happened.
Wow.
And then Lisa... well, blast it out of her mind. I don't know. Did you read the Orange County Register review of the comedy show?
I did, yes.
Said something about, I wish at my job I could drink like that. It was ridiculous.
Here's a little bit of Lisa coming on after Craig Robinson, the comic, who's just leaving the stage, and her job is to bring on Kevin Nealon, who's up next, right?
Hey, everybody! How about Craig Wilson?
Yeah.
Craig Wilson?
Who's Craig Wilson?
I may be a little drunk. I actually started vacation a couple hours ago, so you're going to have to forgive me. I've been drinking.
Well, that was pretty obvious.
Wow.
Then she would have to have a great deal of difficulty with all the things she planned to say about Kevin Nealon.
That was the best.
Unfortunately, she's on vacation, so yeah. We can't mock her all week.
I told her we were going to call her.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because we really do.
She's probably still in bed from Friday night. I know she must have been hurting when she woke up on Saturday. She was definitely on vacation.
Omar was in such rare form, though. That was good.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him like that before.
You've missed out then. When he comes to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mike, you were saying that it's funny because all the years we've made the jokes about the crazy stuff Omar does when he's drinking, I didn't know how close it was to reality.
Yeah, that's why.
Mike, you said you were trying to film some stuff backstage.
No, you couldn't. It was awesome. Omar got so drunk, like, you couldn't do anything without Omar trying to get in the middle of it and ruin it. If you called the Afro line, Omar would run over and... I was trying to interview Sam the Armenian Comedian backstage, and Omar would not get out of the middle.
It's not just that he wouldn't get out of the way. It's that he saw where the camera was and where Sam was, and then was insisting on inserting himself into the picture right in front of the camera so that you couldn't see anything.
And effectively film anything. And I thought it would just be for Sam, you know, because it's the Armenian Comedian. It's all kind of a joke. But Lightning's trying to interview Patton Oswalt, and Omar's in the front.
That was a good time.
He's the best. He needs to drink all the time. I think we need to not give him an option. All right. Well, let's begin with your phone calls today. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
April 16th through the 19th this year is the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, and we're giving you tickets to go on the Saturday. You not only get to see the fantastic racing, but you also get a free concert from Puddle of Mud on Saturday night. So that's the prize you get at 1-800-520-1067. No, you can't decline it. You have to actually take it.
All right, let's begin with Tony in Artesia. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
What it do?
Los Dodgers season begins today!
Yes, it does.
Dodger season begins today. I speak Tony, for those of you that didn't understand that.
They are away at San Diego. Is that right, Mike? Is that where they are?
Yep.
Okay.
That is correct.
Only...
Do you have anything to add to that, Tony, or just the Dodger season begins today? Because that information was fairly available elsewhere.
He's excited.
We're going to kick the Phillies' butt, huh?
There you go. All right. Thanks for the call. Omar there. Apparently.
And Ralph is not going to be too devastated whether the Phillies win or lose, unfortunately. He's not a baseball fan.
Not a huge baseball fan.
Phillies are the only team that have lost so far, by the way.
Okay.
And season started last night. I'm just telling you, they're 0-1.
And we only have 2,200 games left in the season, right? Yep.
I've just said if the season ended today, they would have lost every single game all year long.
A lot of people don't know the Major League Baseball season is 7 years long. It's really odd. They start another season halfway through. Darren in Chino, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
Hey, I was just wondering if you got your paperwork in the mail yet for your license plate ticket.
No, I did not, actually.
I just got a ticket about 2-3 weeks ago for no front plate and tinted windows.
Yeah.
Which California Highway Patrol chased me down to give me this ticket.
Right.
And I wasn't even speeding or nothing. And I got my paperwork in the mail the other day. And the paperwork said that I could pay $25 per offense for the filing fee.
Mm-hmm.
Or... if I wanted to, I can just pay the whole fee to wipe it away, which was $288.
What?
Ouch.
So I can keep my plate off and keep my tinted windows, but I got to pay them $288.
But my ticket only said it was $25. That's not the whole fine?
You can pay $25 and put your plate back on, but if you want to leave your plate off,
it costs you
$144.
Oh, I see.
But so you are still susceptible to get that same ticket again the next time you drive out of your house, right?
Exactly.
But they give you the option of just... paying and not putting it on, huh?
Exactly. Huh. And that's what I don't understand. If it's wrong, make you take it off. But now they're saying it's okay if you just go ahead and pay this fee.
That's weird.
I guess they don't care if you want to continue to support them in that way.
Yeah.
So it's not really a fix-it ticket, then, if you don't even have to fix it.
Exactly. And my whole thing is they're kind of saying it's okay.
Yes, they are. They are saying that it's advisable, that it's the best thing to do.
And I think what a great idea would be, since you guys, I was driving, but you were in a parking lot.
I was in a parking lot at LAX, yeah.
So I say me and Mike go to a police station parking lot and get the sergeant at the desk to come out and write all those cops tickets who are sitting in their parking lot with tinted windows and no front plate.
I say you do that as well, Darren.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I'd like to hear how that goes. Good luck with that.
How did I get roped in?
I don't know, but apparently you have to go too. Let's go to Dave in Long Beach. Good morning, Dave.
What's going on?
What's going on?
What it do?
What's happening, Dave?
Not a whole lot. Hey, I wanted to talk to you guys, see if you guys seen that Laker game last night. See if I'm going to blow it again.
I saw part of it.
I was there.
Maybe you were there?
Yeah. It was maybe...
It was the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst, least entertaining... most poorly played basketball game I've seen in a long, long time.
By both teams.
Yeah.
It was just awful. I mean, it just not entertaining. Everybody was playing poorly.
I was watching at the beginning, and I got that sense as well. I was just thinking, what the? Is this NBA? What's happening here?
Did you guys see Slater sitting next to the governor's wife?
No, I didn't.
See Slater? He was sitting about 14 feet away from me. I was enchanted by AC Slater.
Did you go over and say hi?
You must have been sitting about 10 feet away from me, then, Mike, because I had seats in the third row.
Look at you, baller. But, he walked in and he made a press immediately when you saw Big Mario Lopez coming down right into the front row. Ooh, what a presence.
Big Mario, did you see the chick he was with?
I did.
What's happening here?
Her pan was a little rough, but, man, what a bot on that broad.
It's the Mike and Drunk Guy show.
What's happening?
I don't know what happened.
Thank you, Dave.
Fucking AC Slater, brother.
I know, but...
The LA Lakers blog on latimes.com, by the way, says... Lakers 88, Clippers 85. Satisfying as banquet chicken.
Oh, man. That was...
So, I mean, it counts as a win, but it wasn't much fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes sometimes. It's hard to get up for a team that's, you know, won one game in the last three seasons.
No, no doubt. Well, and they pulled out to an early lead very early in the first quarter. And so they sit Powell, they sit Kobe, they sit Lamar. And I'm texting Dave, ha, 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 it's getting ugly here in Staples. Next thing I know, you know.
They're coming back. All right. Thank you for the call. Why is that? How come that says that?
I'm confused by our
phone system here. Sorry.
I think we cut our losses on these calls and move on to today's excellent Kevin and Bean show.
Do we have an excellent show today?
I think so. Okay. To me, like, we got a lot of good stuff.
We are going to give you a full April Foolishness recap, which we have to do, including the Armenian comedian today. Because Bean's an ass, and I didn't want to do it.
Why am I an ass?
I didn't want to do it. That's all I'm saying.
That's not the way I remember it.
Oh, all right. Chuck,
is the video up? Has Lightning been able to get the video up from the event?
I looked this morning when I got up, but I haven't looked now. It wasn't up this morning, but
okay.
Hopefully it will be, yeah. Because Sam's, he's priceless. Did you hear the crowd booing me when I got up there to introduce him?
I sure did, and you deserved it.
And Bean turned on me and started, boo! Everybody was booing. Harvey Levin on the program today?
Uh-huh.
Al Roker on the program today?
That's the interview you've been waiting for.
Well, no, I don't care. I just I can't understand how he's involved with this story. But this medical marijuana story is ridiculous.
This is a guy who was a medical marijuana dispenser in California who was arrested, basically.
Yeah,
even though it's legal in California.
And what happened? It's one of those things where you go, well, there's got to be part of the story that's missing because this doesn't make any sense. So we'll talk about that today. We got Chuck Liddell on the program today. We have Al Roker on the program today.
You mentioned that. You mentioned Al.
And we have Al Roker on the program today. So that's coming up. Plus highlights of last night's Celebrity Apprentice. Mm-hmm. I did not see that, but we're going to have Donald Trump helping us with that, playing some clips.
If you're a Metallica fan, have we announced this yet, Mike, or is this for later on this morning?
I'm unsure.
Giving away Metallica tickets today.
I guess it's right now then. We're giving away Metallica tickets today. Yes. I don't know any more than you do, but we'll find out the details and we'll get back to you with that. It is 5:42. We got a quick break and then Ralph Showbiz.
Did some recon during that record, by the way, about Metallica. And yes, we are giving you Metallica tickets for the Honda Center and an Xbox 360 copy of the Metallica Guitar Hero, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is supposed to be awesome. The show that we're giving away tickets for at the Honda Center in Anaheim, tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 o'clock, is December 10th. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's correct.
December 10th.
You know us.
You can plan in the future.
You know
right.
us. We work ahead. That's us.
Works out. It's okay.
I thought it must be a typo. They must have meant May. How is it possible? But it's, in fact, December 10th.
So you won't go to today. A show that's further away than 2 months, right? That's like it, man. That's your cutoff.
Screw that. Not saying that. It's unusual. As long as we've been doing this job, I don't know that we've ever given away anything that happened so far in the future. That's all.
Yeah, it is just 8 months from now. But and you're almost out of time to shop for Christmas as well. That's odd. That's year true. Is just flying by.
Stuff up over the holiday, over the weekend. They have stuff in the stores already. Things are trees and wreaths.
Oh, it's the best time of the year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's 5:49. Who's impersonating Tommy Lee? We'll find out after the news at 6. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. What's going on?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, as we do every Monday morning. How about The Fast and Furious?
How about that?
How'd it do?
It did pretty well for itself. It made $72.5 million over the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, shattering April box office records. Came in at number one by far.
Well, I win. I liked it a lot. You're right. It's car porn.
It's good for what it is.
If you don't expect more than what it is, you love it.
Great cars racing with marginal acting surrounding it. You'll be fine.
Hot chicks.
Now, no one expected that. Even the people who made the movie, right? I mean, this is way beyond what anyone thought would happen.
Yeah, this is a miracle. Here's the thing: huge cult following for this film. Has done excellent on DVD, all the versions, and to bring the original cast back together again is something fans obviously wanted to see. So it was the right combination. In the right weekend as well, because they were originally planning a summer release for this, and they opted for a spring, and there wasn't much competition for this kind of film, so it was a great idea.
Welcome back, Mr. Diesel.
Welcome back, Mr. Diesel. Great thing.
How about Gal Gadot, though? Do-do-do-do-do. Gal Gadot. Do-do-do-do.
Is she as hot as Ralph was saying on Friday?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yes.
With a t-shirt?
Yes.
She likes wife beaters in chilly rooms.
Yes.
That's all you need.
And I like those as well.
Yes. Second at the box office this weekend was Monsters vs. Aliens. Of course, the very popular sequel to Monsters, Inc.
Where are you getting your information from, Ralph?
That's what you told
me. Doesn't sound right.
That's what you told me last week. That made $33.5 million.
Wow. Everyone went to the movies this weekend.
Everyone went to the movies. The top two movies made well over $100 million at the box office.
Say that it's a result of the
baseball
poor economy.
Coming?
Is that what it is?
People out of fear of having to watch baseball were rushing to movie theaters to try to avoid it.
Movies are a relatively cheap night out compared to other forms of entertainment, and they say that's why it's benefiting so much this year.
The Haunting in Connecticut was number three. Knowing was number four. I Love You, Man came in at number five. Adventureland, in its debut, only made $6 million, but that was good enough to make it number six. Duplicity was seven. Race to which mountain? That mountain over there. $3.4 million made it number eight. I had many people come up to me at begging me not to stop doing that.
No, begging you to
begging
stop
me
doing
not to stop
okay,
doing
Ralph.
That.
You all heard right. them wrong, Ralph.
Don't
you're
let
thinking.
Them bully into you stopping doing that. That's what they told me.
Because that joke is so good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
12 Rounds was number nine, and then Sunshine Cleaning came in at number 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, New Line Cinema has announced who will play their brand new Freddy Krueger for their reboot of A Nightmare on Elm Street, the series. I was not a fan of rebooting Freddy Krueger, but I think now I'm in favor.
Really?
The actor that will take over the role? Jackie Earle Haley.
Wow.
Oh, he's great.
Who did such a great job as Rorschach in Watchmen and has had a career comeback in the past couple years, will be taking on the Freddy Krueger role, and I think he'll be terrific in that.
Somebody's killing off masked animals.
What did he say? Let's do my impression of Rorschach.
Somebody's killing off masked Avengers.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
That
I don't
guy?
Know if he's going to talk that way as
that
Freddy,
guy?
But that guy who played Rorschach in that film. I think it's a good choice. What do you mean lame? He's great.
He was Kelly Leak in the original Bad News Bears, right?
Yes, he was.
That's all that matters.
He's done some work since then.
Wow.
But
I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying.
It's quite a pull.
More movie news. How about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie? Would you like to see Sarah Michelle Gellar fighting vampires again on the big screen?
Yes, I would.
I would.
Well, apparently, you're not alone. Movie insiders are talking about the fact that the producers are currently kicking around the idea of reprising the role of Sarah Michelle Gellar as Buffy and bringing the whole gang back to fight on the big screen. You know, the lucrative trend of superhero films. They're looking for all kinds of product, and they think that would be a great way to reintroduce the character to a whole new generation of fans, and I think it would be very popular.
It's a great idea.
And I think she could certainly pull it off. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Sad news. Original Charlie's Angel Farrah Fawcett apparently suffering another setback. In her battle against cancer, she is in the hospital and has been so since last Thursday, according to friends close to Farrah. The good news is her son was just busted on drug charges over the weekend.
Oh, no.
So she's got that going for her.
Wow.
Yeah.
When it rains, it pours.
No doubt.
No doubt.
They were arrested?
They were arrested along with her son for drug charges, yes. Redmond O'Neill was busted over the weekend. And here's the thing. If your mom's... by all accounts, in serious, serious condition in the hospital with cancer. Mm. You really going to go out and just score and just get loaded?
Maybe that's how...
Maybe he deals? That's
he tried
he
to
deals.
Deal or something. I don't know.
I don't know either. But
that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And Vanessa Hudgens wants you to know that...
Don't act like you're interested. And stop making that noise.
Yeah. I'm way interested. She's been with Zach.
Wants you to know she's still one of Hollywood's good girls. She says she's proud to be someone the youth of America looks up to.
But loser! 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 Loser!
And admits taking on the responsibility is also a daunting task, but she wants to let you know that even with that nude photo scandal, she considers herself a role model for young girls everywhere and tries hard to live up to that.
No! No!
I'll tell you, she could be more of a role model if she got herself an Orelco personal trimmer. some sort of personal
weed
shaving
whacker.
Device would, I, in my opinion, make her more role model worthy.
Role model ish.
More women should try to model that and less trying to model the sort of the forestation program she's got going on down there in the southern hemisphere of her.
I think we get it.
Yeah. She's hairy.
Right.
You know, they're bringing Melrose Place back.
Yes,
because 90210 was such a smash hit. The reboot of that series over there on the CW, they're bringing back Melrose Place on the CW.
And I think the ladies love it.
They do love it.
That's true.
And much like the 90210 series, they're bringing back some original cast members to appear in the show as well. The first one has been signed up. Actress Laura Layton is coming back to the show.
Ooh.
She's the smoking hot redhead who was on that show for many years.
She's crazy on that show.
She was crazy. Yeah, she plays Sydney. She was crazy.
I don't remember anything about that show.
You don't?
No.
She's coming back. to play to reprise her role as Sydney Andrews, which is very exciting because she's hot. So that's good news. And Nicolas Cage wants you to know, if you ever see him out in public, feel free to come up and chat.
Really?
Yes. It's kind of refreshing for a movie star of his caliber to talk about that. But he said he wants everyone to know he is completely accessible. He makes a point of being polite and gracious to every fan that approaches him. He says he enjoys the attention, not only because it makes him feel good, but he says it simultaneously teaches his children an important lesson in life, to be thankful to the people who help make you successful.
Screw him.
Oh, come on,
come
Doc.
Come on, Doc.
Nick's a good guy. What's nice to hear a fan, him say that. Now, whether he practices that in real life or not, I don't know. But it sounds good.
You always see those lists of people who are the most approachable and nice to fans. Is he usually on that list?
Yes, he is.
He is, okay.
By all accounts, he's an all-around good guy.
Fantastic.
Here's someone who doesn't enjoy the attention, though. Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
Oh. Says that she is very shy.
Really?
She tells Star Magazine that she is not comfortable with all the attention that she gets, especially if it's focused on her body. Then she went and posed for Complex Magazine in American Apparel boy shorts and a Dolce & Gabbana bustier. So I can see how much it must bother her to show off her body. No, it should bother freaking Chloe. Let it bother her. Let her be bothered by showing off her body. Do not need to see her mammoth ass wrapped in a red mini skirt last night on the Celebrity Apprentice. Do not need that.
No.
It looked like a fire truck was attached to her waist. She looked like one of those, it's like a cyborg, like a half woman, half fire truck combo. Bulls from all over the world were trying to chase after her ass. That's how big it was.
I don't understand.
It was red and big and inflamed.
Come on, fatty, keep up.
They're like one of those monkeys with a big swollen red ass. Only if like 12 monkeys were all living in the same skirt.
She's
just saying, she's got a big ass.
I noticed that on the show last night, too, but she's got a walk-on with the Chargers in camp this summer, doesn't she? That's what I heard, anyway.
Yes.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
That's from the show last
night.
That's
what Donald Trump said to her. Yeah, no way out. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian.
Come on.
From the Star Wars
Woo!
Epics. Also known as the Colt 45 salesman. That's all.
He's the coolest.
He was the coolest. 72 years old today. Actor Paul Rudd turns 40 years old today. Actor Zach Braff, also known as Jack Fraff, if you're Joan Rivers from Scrubs, he is 34 years old today. Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah!
From Full House celebrates her 33rd birthday. Brett Harrison, star of Reaper on the CW, is 27. And Deora Baird, one of our favorites around here, celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Metallica tickets you can win on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, how about Chuck Liddell on the program and Al Roker talking about his MSNBC documentary that he did on medical marijuana in California, which, by the way, all over the country, people are watching to see what happens out here in California with this medical marijuana. We definitely are seeming to be the trendsetter on what will be allowed by the federal government. So.
It sure seems absurd, I'll tell you that. It just, at least we don't have any money problems in this country, so we don't
exactly.
need it for that reason.
We're also going to talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up in a couple of minutes, which I think is the source of this next story, isn't it, Kevin?
It is. TMZ. Millionaire Match is a website I'm not familiar with. It says number one dating site for successful singles and admirers. So basically it's for rich dudes.
Rich dudes and gold diggers basically is what they're advertising
yes.
for.
And Tommy Lee advertised on this site for women. And it says, "What up, beautiful bunnies? I'm Tomass. Looking for honeys to party with, mostly West Coast, but I travel the world, so if you elsewhere, we could still chill." Put a picture up of himself, the whole deal. The only problem is, Tommy Lee says that it's not him.
Which makes me wonder if it is him and he just feels like he's been busted, so he's going to deny that it's him and claim it's an impersonator, or if somebody is really pretending to be Tommy Lee on the site. So we thought, let's find out what's really going on, so we'll talk to the great Tommy Lee himself, drummer for the band Motley Crue, on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Tom.
Yeah. All right.
How's it going?
Oh, you know, every day is different, you know, opportunity to rip and shred, you know, take it, taking that, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's what you do, all right.
Fast lane.
All right, Tommy, we've been friends for a long, long time, and
sure
you've always been straight with us.
Yeah.
Is this you? Is this your ad on MillionaireMatch.com, or is this somebody pretending to be Tommy Lee?
No way, Broseph. I don't need no dating website or no help getting ladies. You
right.
know, It's an endless stream of ass coming Tommy Lee's way.
Right, but, right. But we're looking at the picture from Millionaire Match. It is a picture of you, so if it's not you, somebody...
But someone's faking the funk.
Somebody's faking the funk.
Yeah,
okay.
That's not official. It's artificial. And when you're not real... Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm really upset about this. It's not a joke,
It sounds like you're upset.
I really am. Uh-huh. And, you know, if you mess with the bull... Go for the gold.
I don't think those two go together. It says your single Caucasian drummer, 46, have kids, smokes and drinks regularly, travels a lot, and is rich as can be.
Yeah.
That all sounds like you.
Sounds, you know, like that's legit.
Right.
But it's not.
Okay.
And,
it's not.
You know, if you mess with the bull,
right.
Get back on that horse.
I don't think those two go together.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how this would work for a guy, even if somebody believed it was Tommy Lee, if a girl is on the site and is corresponding with who she thinks is Tommy Lee, as soon as they meet up, she's going to recognize it's not Tommy Lee. So I don't even, this seems like a dead end deal to me.
Correctamundo.
So why would he do it?
I don't know.
Right.
You know, some lovely lady is going to be like, there's Tommy Lee. I'm going to hook up with him.
Right.
And then they're going to go to a nice restaurant establishment at
right.
the meeting point, and some guy's going to walk in who's a faker and not Tommy
right.
Lee, and she's going to say, hey, brah, you don't have a massive dong piece. I want it. And I'm going to say, gotcha.
Wait a minute. You're going to say gotcha?
Yeah.
So it is you.
No.
It isn't you.
I didn't understand that then.
But I'll be like, you've been punked.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
no.
Look, when life throws you a curveball, lemonade. Ha!
We got highlights of Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness from this past Friday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Coming up just after 7, we'll talk about that. I just this second found out that Ralph's number one man crush of all time, John Hamm from Mad Men, was there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm yep. surprised Ralph didn't chloroform him. I know he carries a kit in his car
he
in
does.
The event that he ever comes up with him, that he's going to kidnap him and take him home. But wow.
I saw him leaving the event, and Ralph was holding onto his ankle and dragging along dragging along in the parking lot. It was very sad.
Bunch of great pictures from onstage and backstage at krock.com. First, though, Monday morning, 6:19. How about our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the phone with us? Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was excellent, actually.
Wow. What was different?
What was different?
Yeah, I mean, you usually don't say excellent.
Well, I just, you know what, I was away on business.
Okay.
And I was in D.C. and Boston, and I'm telling you, the stuff we're doing in D.C., I'm so excited about.
Your guys are certainly dialing in on Congress. It doesn't seem like, I mean, it's almost like they're the celebrities now, and they can't walk out of their office without a TMZ photographer being there to interview them.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you the simple premise here.
All right.
Everybody, so many people want to be interested in politics, and they're not because it's boring. And you got all these faceless people out there, and you can't connect to them because the issues are too big and you don't know who these people are, but they're interesting. So I've been back there and, you know, we have been doing a lot of stories. And I don't know if you guys saw this story about this 27-year-old congressman from Illinois. We made this guy a national star. I mean, this is the guy when we walked up to him and said, if you were in an ab contest with Obama, who would win? And,
right.
And then we ended up just, we got a picture of this guy. And, I mean, he would almost put Psycho Mike to shame.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
So he's now the rock star congressman, thanks to TMZ.com. I love it. That's funny.
Go to the LA Times yesterday.
All right.
They have on page 3 of the main section a huge article on him talking about how TMZ and his abs made him a star. He's going to be on Tom Colbert this week. He's been on GMA, NBC, CBS. They've all talked to him about his abs.
Wow.
MSNBC, Fox. I mean, the guy, and we're doing this with like a lot of people, and I'm telling you, it is really, really fun.
Wait a minute. You're going to show the abs of a lot of senators? Okay, good.
No, I mean, I'll just tell you one other one. I know this is kind of off point, but there's this guy named Senator Burr, who is, by the way, the distant cousin of Raymond Burr, who killed Alexander Hamilton in a duel.
Yes.
And
Aaron Burr. Raymond Burr was Perry Mason.
Did I say Raymond Burr?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, that's his brother.
And you also said Tom Colbert, but I think everyone knows you met Stephen.
Oh, because I know it, Tom. Jesus, yeah. I am. Well, okay, I got an excuse.
Yeah.
So anyway, we find this senator from South Carolina, and it was in the middle of a snowstorm. And have you ever? You guys know what a VW thing is?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Those car, old right. vans or
you
whatever?
You know where the sights come off and the whole thing?
Yeah.
So we catch him just by chance, and he's in the middle of a huge snowstorm in D.C. with the top down.
What? Why?
So it's the way he rolls. And so we did this story on him. It was a hilarious story about why his name is Burr. And so,
dear God.
Everybody in his state picked it up. And they called us and they said, my God, we have like been in Congress for a long time. We've never gotten the kind of publicity we got off of TMZ.
Wow. Hilarious.
Harvey
hilarious.
Is the president maker.
That's what we're going to call him in 4 years.
Is. He's going to choose the next man who runs this country.
That's
or
right.
What? All right, Harvey, let's talk about celebrities, your bread and butter on this site. I'm almost afraid to ask because based on the post you made over the weekend, it looks like things are very bad for beautiful little Lindsay Lohan, right?
Let me take a pass on that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying,
I mean, you have the locks being changed. You have Samantha getting the locks changed at the house, and it looks like another big fight over the weekend. I mean, it has.
Come on. Yeah. I mean, she's moved out before.
It seems to happen a lot.
Well, but that's, look, I don't want to play Dr. Phil here, but this is the classic, like, codependent, crazy relationship that thrives off drama. And they've been in, like, 9,000 fights. They kick each other out all the time. Lindsay moved out before. I mean, and they'll get back together again.
Oh, dear God, I hope not.
The picture, though, that you posted over the weekend, I don't remember which day, of Lindsay looking like she's either passed out or stoned or what, I don't know, in her car outside the Chateau Marmont. I mean, that was a sad, sad photograph.
I mean, it's a really sad photo. I mean, she's got it kind of propped up against the window. And, you know, it's hard to necessarily read into a snapshot like that.
Right.
But it kind of is a snapshot of her life right now. I mean, she's having a really rough time, clearly.
Isn't she hot enough that she could get a better-looking dude, you know?
Oh, God.
Samantha Rotz is actually a woman, Kevin. I don't know if you heard. God. She's a woman.
All right.
It is. I mean, God, you know, you look at the picture, and it's just... sad.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is sad.
And you know, and what I hate to say it, but her parents are so to blame for this.
Absolutely.
They're
absolutely.
So to blame for this.
Yeah,
saw that story last week that I think that you had about how she was trying to get the Lindsay's little sister into a bar at age 15 or 16 or whatever she is and actually pulled out the "Don't You Know Who I Am?" I mean, she just doesn't care about them as kids. She just cares about them as celebrities, it seems like.
Did you say Ashley?
No, no.
Dina.
No, no. I was talking about the Allie, the other daughter.
Allie. Oh,
Allie. Yeah.
I thought I could correct you finally.
This is the most confusing conversation I've ever not been a part of.
All right, let's change gears and find out why Rihanna is globetrotting so much. She has to be at a different continent every day. What's going on with her, Harvey?
She wants to be as far away from Chris Brown in this court proceeding as possible. I mean, here's what's happening. He's going to plead not guilty today. He's going to be in court. He's going to plead not guilty, which is just a formality. What's really going on is they have been really seriously trying to cop a plea in this case. And one of the reasons they're trying to do it is because Rihanna really wants him to cop a plea, and she has made that extremely clear. She does not want to testify. She does not want to go to court. It's one of the reasons she's in Barbados right now. She wants to be as far away from this as she possibly can be. And I'm told that they are close on reaching something. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the offers on the table are that close together, but one side is clearly willing to give more than they've already said.
Wow.
But I'm told they are close. In this case, I'm almost positive it's going to plea bargain.
So without her, he's going to plead guilty to a much lesser charge and not do any jail time.
Well, that's what he said. We put the story up, I don't know, about 5 weeks ago. That's what he wanted. He wanted a misdemeanor with no jail time. That's what he wanted. I'm guessing the DA is not going to buy that. Because this beating was brutal.
Right.
And also she told cops he had done it to her before. So this is my hunch and this is purely a guess, but I'm guessing that the DA may ask for some jail time and he'll probably say yes to it because if he doesn't and he rolls the dice, he could face years in prison if he's convicted and the judge throws a book at him.
Right.
It is so weird these days when you see, I mean, justice is not meted out equally around the country. I mean, it's so different from case to case, person to person, judge to judge. I mean, a guy like T.I. is in jail for having a gun. He didn't hurt anybody. He's in jail for a year. Somebody like Chris Brown may not do a day, yet he beat somebody viciously.
Well, I mean, you can look at Lil' Kim, too. I mean, the same thing happened with her. I mean, it, you can't look at these things where it's apples to apples, where everybody, you have to look at what some what happened in somebody else's case. I mean, when you have a different jury and a different judge in every case, these and different prosecutors and defense lawyers, these cases end up differently. I mean, look at the O.J. Simpson case. I mean, if it weren't for Johnny Cochran, O.J. Simpson may have been convicted. So lawyers make a difference, prosecutors make a difference, judges make a difference. It all makes a difference.
Absolutely. Good point. And you're going to be following. I'm sure you'll have your guys down at the courthouse all day today to wait to see if anything happens with Chris Brown, right?
You can trust me on that.
Yeah, of course.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, TMZ.com, that's the website of record, and of course the TV show weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. Thanks to Marvin Levin for joining us on the show today. Want to know why we rule? Should I tell you why we're the best?
I'm waiting to hear that.
Because we have Rancid coming in this afternoon for Kevin and Bean's Cinco de la Tarde.
Yeah, that's true.
World premiering their brand new song called Last One to Die. So if you're a Rancid fan like we are, you definitely want to be listening between 5 and 6 this afternoon on K-Rock. How about that?
Time for the AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. Any topic?
It's almost Easter. Guess what that means? Exploding microwavable peeps. Oh, yeah, I'm going to f*** them up.
Exploding microwavable peeps, by the way, is playing Coachella.
They're good. They're real good.
Hello, this is the Queen of England calling Kevin Bean. I understand Kevin's been doing an impression of me. Well, I'd like to state categorically that Kevin can kiss my royal ass.
Wow, you ticked off the Queen.
Thought I was bad.
So Sean Connery has a fashion week. Should be called A View to a Kilt?
Well done. Well done.
Bean, really, you can't do your job unless Alita LaBresca is on the TV.
Yes. Yeah, Bean was here on Friday, and I made the mistake of turning off the news while she was doing the weather, and Bean stopped what he was doing and reprimanded me and said, put it back on.
Come on, Bean. Seriously, she's butterface.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you. Although today she is dressed like Gilligan from Gilligan's Island, which is not a pretty look, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you think?
Okay, so seriously, that song, I Love College, that guy probably never went to college. You know why? Because if you really go to college, you don't love college. All you do is sit in class and listen to a bunch of assholes talk about how they know things better than you do. There's nothing great about that, and there's nothing fun about that. Even living in the dorms is miserable. This guy's an asshole, and I hate this song. Please do not play it anymore, ever again.
We'll get that right on for you.
I think the part of college that he liked was being in a frat with lots of pot. That's what he liked.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest you went to class? No wonder you hated college.
Yeah, that was your problem.
What's wrong with you?
Kevin.
Not enough beatboxing going on for my taste. Well, I'd like to bring that back. Ralph was in a after-school movie when he was like 9, and he was threatening the quarterback of the football team, and they were going to throw the game, and he was putting money on it, and he delivered the immortal line, wrong man, you just made this a bloodbath.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
Check it through the middle. He shoots. He scores! You just made it into a bloodbath!
Well done.
Well done. Sometimes guys are retarded.
I'm watching this lady running, and I can see her boobies moving.
And Lightning called in over the weekend.
Hello. Fast and the Furious is finally coming out. Welcome back, Mr. Diesel. You know, I can tell what every car in that movie is just by hearing the engine. They better not be using hose water to wash those cars. I'm an asshole.
Remember that whole thing he went into about how you can't wash your car with hose water because it has so much dirt in it that it'll ruin the paint?
Yep.
Ah, he's the best. That was a good movie. Did you see it, Bean?
Did I see it? It was... Come on. You got to withdraw that question.
That's a dumb question. Hey.
Hey. Not acknowledging you anymore.
Hey.
Not even acknowledging it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
I believe it was the Red Hot Chili Peppers, played right there on K-Rock, who inducted Metallica into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Saturday night in Cleveland, by the way. And then there was a big jam session with everybody. If you want to catch it, they're showing highlights on the Fuse Network. And we've got Metallica tickets plus a copy of the Metallica Xbox 360 copy of Metallica Guitar Hero that you can win this morning on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. So stick around for that.
Thank you, Dick Clark.
For Ralph Showbiz Beat.
You guys hanging out with Don Draper on Friday night? Or was that just me?
That was not us.
Oh, that's right. It was me. Right. I was hanging out with Don Mother effing Draper!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. From Mad Men!
Right.
I saw that photo this morning. I had no idea. I didn't spend a second backstage on Saturday night. I was out in the crowd the whole time.
That's Bean. You know,
Bean loves the people.
He loves the
he
people.
He can't stay away from them.
He mingles. He shook the hand, I think, of everyone there.
He made a point of it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that Don Draper was there. Was it a thrill for you, Ralph?
It was a major thrill. Could not have been a nicer guy, too, John Hamm, by the
I
way.
Was
and his
back
lovely
there.
Girlfriend, Jennifer.
I was back there and didn't know he was there. Until I saw Ralph getting dragged out into the parking lot, holding onto his leg.
Security did have to be called at one point, but...
let him go, Ralph!
We had a lovely, lovely chat. And he said he'd be happy to do the show once, just
yes.
before Mad Men comes back. He'd when it's you know, appropriate, he said he'd be more than happy to come by and do the show. So.
Does he know that despite the accolades, despite the awards, despite how much everyone who has ever seen that show loves it, that Kevin refuses to watch it? Does he know that?
I did mention that, yeah.
How dare you?
He said, most of us really love the show, John. One of the guys whose name is on the show doesn't think it's
won't even watch it.
Good Stupid because
Dean.
It takes place in the 60s, so it can't have any point, he thinks.
Can't be good.
Yeah. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Well, Fast and Furious did okay for itself.
Okay?
Yeah, if you consider $72.5 million okay.
That's got to be in the, what? I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest of all time, doesn't it?
It's certainly it smashed box office records for the month of April, that's for sure.
Unbelievable.
Huge numbers.
The screening I went to, there weren't a lot of people in it, and that's why I thought, well, maybe it's not going to do that well. But there were so many screenings, maybe that was the...
Yeah, it was on every theater in
every
Southern California.
Minutes.
Monsters vs. Aliens did also very well for itself, $33.5 million in its second weekend. Not a bad second weekend. Most movies would like to have that for opening weekends.
Total.
The Haunting in Connecticut was number three at the box office. Then Knowing, I Love You, Man, Adventureland, in its debut, made $6 million. Duplicity was number seven. Race to Witch Mountain? Why that mountain over there? Number eight. Number nine was 12 Rounds. And number 10, Sunshine Cleaning. So that's your top 10 at the box office, according to Variety newspaper. Congratulations to Gisele Bündchen and Tom Brady. They got married yet again over the weekend. It's their 27th wedding, so congratulations to these guys.
They do get married every day, don't they?
They got married in Costa Rica this weekend.
He's a fag!
Stop it.
Maybe true.
It's possible.
Yeah, could be true.
According to Harvey, the TMZ, there was gunshots at the wedding.
What?
Good times. That's what you want. It's not a real party until there's gunfire.
I saw the pictures. I guess the security people were trying to get the paparazzi to turn over the photos or something, and they said no, jumped in their car and drove away, and the security guy shot at them, blew out the back windows of their cars.
That's a wedding.
I heard Brian Belichick was taking videotape of other people's weddings before it was going on, trying to get a leg up on how to plan their wedding, and that's where the whole thing got started.
Well done.
Thank you, sir. Matt Lauer is still mending. Did you hear about this? This idiot?
No.
He hit a deer on his bike.
On his bike?
Yeah, hit his deer on his bike.
How could he do that?
Riding his bike, deer came out, hit it, went over the handlebars. It's all hunked up. He says, although he's back to work, it's hard for him to get dressed in the morning. Oh, what can you do with your $5 million a year you get to be on television?
What did he hurt?
Maybe hire a guy to put your clothes on. He hurt his shoulder, apparently. So he's still on the mend, but he said the hardest part is that waking up at 4 a.m., he says, he just can't have anyone in his family help him put his socks on.
That isn't good for you.
Well, ask the whore that you wake up next to when you're leaving your family behind, when you're traipsing around the world. Oh, where's Matt Lauer? He's with a whore. That's where he is.
I don't think that's the answer.
Oh, you don't know.
Not positive.
You want to be Spider-Man, Kevin?
Is the job open?
Yes.
Sure.
Bono and The Edge are casting their new Spider-Man musical.
Oh, for Broadway?
And they're looking for a new Spider-Man for Broadway.
I think I'm your guy.
Kevin, on Broadway as Spider-Man. Nothing would make me happier.
Who has a greater appreciation of Broadway than I do?
First of all, who loves comic book more than you? Nobody.
That's
who
right.
loves Broadway more than you?
That's
Nobody.
Right. That's right.
Who sings and dances more than you do?
No one.
No one?
That's right.
They're having auditions here in Southern California on Saturday, April the 18th. If you are a young actor or actress, singer, dancer, and you think this is your big break to be on Broadway, men 16 to 20s. Same for the women, 16 to 20s, looking for good singers who can also dance and act to play Peter Parker / Spider-Man and Mary Jane, his girlfriend, in the new musical Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. That's the name of it.
No.
Yes.
That isn't the real name of
Spider-Man,
it.
Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
Hmm. That's the temporary title until they come up with an
Spider-Man,
actual...
Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark.
I'm real title. It's a placeholder.
We're also looking for a lead female villain for the piece who needs to be 25 to 35 years old. The casting notice here says, think Sinead O'Connor with a Middle Eastern, Bulgarian, or Greek twist. So anyone, any of you Greek bald-headed broads out there
strange request.
You should audition as well. It's Saturday, April the 18th at the Hollywood United Methodist Church there at Franklin and Highland. Sometimes known as the AIDS Church because it's got that big red ribbon on the front of it.
The AIDS Church.
Yeah, you can go by down there. For more information, you can email spidermancasting@gmail.com, and they'll give you all the details of how you go about auditioning on Saturday, April the 18th. I want to give you a heads up. And if you do become Spider-Man, let us know, because we'd like to know that.
Not really. But good luck.
Kevin wants to go. He'll be down there. We should send you down to audition, and we should videotape it. We'll get Lightning and his crew down there, and you go down and audition for Spider-Man.
I got bit by a spider. I can do it. Think I couldn't?
Oh, that'd be the best ever.
Be all over that.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. CC Poide. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams is 72 years old today. Actor Paul Rudd turns 40. Zach Braff from Scrubs is 34. Candace Cameron Bure from Full House turns 33. Brett Harrison from Reaper is 27. Have you been watching The Reaper, the new season of Reaper?
On and off.
It's real good.
I really like that show.
It's a shame. I think it's going to disappear. But it's real good. And Deora Baird from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And, you know, just having those boobs. That's what we best know
She's
her
unbelievable.
As. She is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That's a new one from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, by the way. The song is called Zero on K-Rock. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs are the musical guest on Saturday Night Live. Don't even ask me who's hosting. You don't even want to know who's hosting the show this weekend.
I don't watch that show. I can't imagine it's anyone I would want to see.
Only Zac Efron, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Wow. My sweet Zach hosting SNL. Hey, if you were at Kevin and Bean's first annual April Foolishness at the Gibson Amphitheater on Friday night, thank you for buying a ticket and supporting a fantastic charity, Boarding for Breast Cancer. You can give us a call right now if you've got anything you want to add to the discussion. We want to basically rub it in for people who weren't able to get to the show about what an unbelievable night of comedy they missed.
K-Rock is well known for putting on some pretty wild annual events, the Orange County Register reads, but this was a different type of show. It was the first time a rowdy radio station listeners were forced to sit down and remain as such. A stellar lineup, Ray Romano, Craig Robinson. How great was Craig Robinson, by the way?
He's an immensely talented, and you're watching him, and he comes out and he does a rock and roll show, basically, with a full funk band that were just phenomenal musicians, and it's all music and comedy, and you can't believe it's the super mellow, quiet guy who plays Daryl on The Office. Like, you can't believe it's the same dude.
He starts playing, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, and everybody claps, and he looks at him like, what is wrong with you people? And then he did, what other songs he did, like Rocky? He had a strange mix of music that he played, but it was really funny. Kevin Nealon, Sarah Silverman, Jeffrey Ross, Joe Rogan, Patton Oswalt, Cleto and the Cletones, Jimmy Kimmel was there, Adam Carolla came out as Mr. Burcham. It was pretty awesome, I got to be honest. I thought it was great. The Orange County Register also points out that, let's see here. Now, I've been to a ton of these K-Rock-sponsored events, but I've never seen the morning show crew so inebriated at their own function.
Well, that is true.
They have cool jobs. They get to drink, laugh, and hang out with the comics. But it was funny when traffic and weather reporter Lisa May walked out on the stage after Craig Robinson set and said, give it up for Craig Wilson.
Hey, everybody. How about Craig Wilson? Craig Wilson?
And at that point, she could not at all remember who it was she was supposed to be saying.
No,
she's
been
so
drinking.
Far gone.
Yeah, it was not her best moment. She's on vacation this week, unfortunately, but I think we're going to need to call her a little bit later and find out just exactly what was going on with her.
I may be a little drunk. I actually started vacation a couple hours ago, so you're going to have to forgive me. I've been drinking.
Yeah, she certainly had.
Let's go to Mike in Garden Grove. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. You were
I
there?
I want to know, we were there. We enjoyed the show. It was awesome. But right before Joe Rogan came out, I noticed Psycho Mike came out on stage. And what's up with the white pants, man?
What do you think?
Yeah,
what do you think is up with the white pants? I mean,
Mike knows what the white pants are.
Of course he does. I sang the song
"White Pants." What do you? I don't even know why you have to ask that question. You know the answer.
And that's when Drunk Omar came onto the stage and started putting the white pants to use. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's definitely humping Mike, and we have pictures of that up at KRock.com too. He came from backstage and just attacked Mike.
Backstage is code, by the way, for white pants.
I was thinking about Mike on Friday night because, you know, clearly he knew people were going to see him. And he went out of his way to put that outfit on. Those white pants, that super, super tight T-shirt.
Yep.
And then he had his hair all sticking straight up in the air like he was some sort of a runway model. It wasn't regular person hair. It was model hair. He was so, hey, look at me on Friday night, wasn't he?
You think?
Totally.
I'll take the heat for the white pants, but that wasn't that tight of a shirt. Compared to how I normally
How many times did I see you backstage going, hey, welcome to the gun show? I mean, come on.
You have no business pointing fingers at people's hair.
Well, his is bad. Yours, though, mine is bad,
but my hair's the same whether I'm on the farm or on the stage. I'm not dressing up for this event. I'm saying you made model hair so that you would look wacky.
All right.
And I don't really want to know what was in your hair.
I was going to say, maybe it's remnants from the white pants.
Yeah, I don't want to know about that. Let's go to Ricky in Los Angeles. Good morning, Ricky.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hi there.
I got lost when that guy said, stomp your feet on me. How am I going to do this with my wheelchair?
Craig Robinson bringing his own comedy. How
nice.
All right, guys.
What'd you think of the show, though, Ricky? You see the whole thing?
It was fun, man. It was all fun through and through, especially the Armenian comedian.
We're going to get to that
in a second. The Armenian comedian was a special surprise guest on the show. Thank you for calling, Ricky. I talked to a lot of people backstage before the show because we had the Fancy Pants party where you bought tickets up close for $99, remember? And again, all the proceeds to charity. And you got you got parking backstage and you got a t-shirt and you got a chance to come to the pre-show party with the Kevin and Bean show, right? And I talked to so many people who said, I'm so happy you guys are doing this because times are so tough right now. And I just felt like I haven't had a good laugh in months.
Oh, no kidding.
And that's what that was all about, really, is people could kind of forget everything that was going on in the world right now and just get in there and just laugh from start to finish. And it was so weird to see because unlike on a Weenie Roast or an Acoustic Christmas where there may be some bands that you like and you want to see and then other bands you don't, so you get up and you wander away, almost nobody could leave their seat to even go pee on Friday night because it was comic after comic after comic nonstop with like a minute break in between. And if you got up and walked out, you were going to miss some jokes. And every comedian was so good that there wasn't anybody to wander away from.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's one of the few events. We work at K-Rock. We play a lot of these bands. I love Weenie Roast and Acoustic Christmas. Love, love, love. But there's an occasional band that you go, okay, time to get some alcohol or, you know, take a break.
And sometimes it's just because it's somebody that you've seen a bunch of times before, too. It's not any reflection on them. It's just you don't need to see them again right then.
Sure didn't want to do that this night, though. It was really amazing.
No. And the other thing that I thought a lot of the comedians told us this after they came off stage is the audience was so into the show that it's not like you had to go out there and win them over.
Yeah.
You kind of started out with an audience that was on your side, which I think was fun for the comics, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. Let's go to Roy in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Roy.
Morning, guys.
Friday night. How was it?
It was amazing.
Highlight?
Highlight. The Armenian comedian, he threw down the best comedy performance I have ever seen.
Me too. Me too.
It was
a little shorter than I had thought, but
it was a little short.
After the entire show, we came out to introduce Sam, the Armenian comedian. And I got to be honest, I thought we were going to lose the audience before he even got out there. Because
everyone knew Patton was the closer, and probably you figured people are going to be jumping up to run for the exits to beat the traffic home.
And then they also knew that I wanted to have Sam on the bill. So this is how it went when we walked out on stage.
We had a lot of conversation at K-Rock about who could close a show like this, who could go after these comedians. I know.
Listen now people crowd. Are already going, no!
I know!
That's a tall order, isn't it? How do you follow these guys? They're the best in the business.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together Put your hands together.
Now, at this point, I'm yelling at the audience because they're not clapping. And Sam is about to come out.
They're already booing. He's not even out here yet. The Armenian Comedian!
Sam walks out with his little flute.
Yeah.
What? Hey, Roy? Oh, he's not there anymore. He walks out with his little flute, and he's got a little keyboard, a little Casio keyboard. And we gave him about 4 seconds, and then Cleto and the Cletones, the band from Jimmy Kimmel Live that was there all night, came in with a little song.
How you all doing, Hollywood? Yeah.
And we dropped the curtain. So he got to say those words only, and then the curtain was dropped.
By the way, and this is after Lightning and Kevin and everybody else has just been pumping Sam up all month long. This is going to be your big break. Oh, don't blow it. Make sure you rehearse. Make sure you got plenty of material. You're going to be coming on after the best comedians in the world. This is going to be the breakthrough you've been waiting for. And he shows up and he was so happy. He felt like all the 30 years he's been doing comedy has finally paid off because now he's headlining the best comedy show ever.
And just before that happened,
that's what we do to him.
Just before that happened, he was standing over by the side and I said to Bean, just before we went on stage, wow, I'm an asshole. Look at him.
I know. I felt terrible about it. But we couldn't not do it, right?
Had to.
Had to do it.
So we drop the curtain, the lights come up, everybody leaves, and then Lightning jumps in Sam's face with the camera to get his reaction.
What's up? That's it? They want me.
Everybody was like laughing and stuff, and so he interpreted that as they want me.
They want me, dude. I think they are going.
Yeah, they're going.
It's over.
Yep.
Well, at least they saw me in real life. I killed them.
Yes.
In 1 second.
Yes, you did.
Ah, that was f***ed up.
I love I killed them, by the way.
I know, because that's the part of him that makes me not feel like an asshole for doing that. First of all, it made sense to him that he would close that show.
Yes.
He'd really?
Come on after Patton Oswalt. Right, exactly.
After all of those comedians, it made sense to you that you're the headliner? And then after that happens, you go, I killed them. Does nothing dampen his enthusiasm for his own talent.
That's what's unbelievable. He's able to bounce back so well. Something like that would have crushed most
right.
people.
Right. It would have crushed me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
And unbelievable.
In his mind, he's as great an entertainer today as he was before he walked out there.
I killed them, he said.
I killed him. I felt really bad that his wife
too.
Like had bought a new dress. And
no, she wasn't there.
There.
I found out she wasn't there.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, that made it so much better.
Because I hate to do bad things to her because she's a nice lady.
She's very nice. And I love Sam. I mean, that was hard to do. I got to be honest, people. It was hard.
It was worth it. You hear the audience was still laughing after the curtain came down.
Was
he was
really
standing back there. Well, we did a bunch of backstage interviews with everybody on the bill, including Sam the Armenian Comedian, and Lightning is currently fast and furiously editing those, and they're going to be up on the website this morning on the Kevin Bean page of KRock.com. But I got to tell you, after the success of the show and as much money as we raised for Boarding for Breast Cancer, I can't imagine there won't be a second annual, right? I mean, we got to do this
Absolutely.
Again next year.
Absolutely. Let's do it this coming Friday. That was cool.
From the Today Show, we're going to talk to Al Roker in just a few minutes. He's done a fascinating MSNBC documentary about the state of medical marijuana sales here in California with an interesting case that could be a test for a lot of people. So that's on the way. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz bee. And don't forget more tickets for Metallica that you can win this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, how about Oscar winner Sean Connery back in the news? Kevin, have you heard about this charity event that he does every year? It's called Dressed to Kilt during New York Fashion Week?
I have not, no, but thank goodness we have him on the phone. Good morning, Sean.
Well, f***ing furious. How are you?
Sean, I can't believe, I know I mentioned this from time to time, but for a guy who's retired, you certainly seem to make the newspaper very, very frequently, and you're back in it again today.
Well, the thing is, even though I don't work, people still love me.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that
so
true.
They talk about the things that I do, and they talk about the size of my
I've not heard anyone talk about that.
Well, you're not reading the right newspapers,
okay.
then.
Okay, that's a good thing.
Well, most of the time when we talk to you, Sean, it seems like it's over a negative story. You're in another lawsuit or you've said something rude about somebody. But this one's a good one. This is all about your charity event that you've done, the Kilt event that you do each year.
Yes, we're very proud of this event. It's the 7th year we've done it. And we do it each week in Fashion Week in New York City, where all the designers get together and all the models get together. And we do it as sort of a lighthearted thing. It raises money for several different charities, and we're quite proud of it.
This is called Dress to the Kilt.
Dress to Kilt, yes.
Yes, Dress to Kilt.
Yes, not the kilt.
Sorry.
Dress to Kilt.
Right, got it. Right.
It's four f***ing words that you f***ed up there.
Right, but
there's three words you need to read, and you added a fourth word.
Well, but it doesn't matter to me really that much.
I recognize that.
It's fashion
week. I've heard your show before, and I can tell the whole thing doesn't really f***ing matter to you.
All right, John.
But just try to get the charity thing right, will you?
Dress to Kilt.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, now what is this all about? Who are you raising money for, and how did the idea get started, Mr. Connery?
It got started because people wear kilts in Scotland, you asshole.
Look, we're just...
How did I get that idea from? Oh, just everyone's walking around with a kilt on. That's how I got it.
But that's in Scotland. Why do you do it in New York, a fashion show in New York this week?
Because men wearing skirts is funny.
Okay.
And people will pay money to see it, and then you can raise money for charity. So I get celebrity assholes to come out and put on a skirt and walk on a catwalk, and people throw money at me, and then I give it to, I don't know, homeless assholes or people who are up some way.
You don't know what the charity is?
I really don't, and I don't give a
Wow.
I'm in New York for Fashion Week because that's where the models are.
I see.
This way I can them up. I spit on their
Okay.
And then I my so up that a
All right, listen.
Okay. That when wow. I sort of
Okay, listen, Sean.
It actually
can't get
expands
into that.
Their lungs.
It what?
We it can't... expands their lungs when I my
That is a lot of
Okay, we understand. So you're there basically to hang out with models. You don't care who
I
the celebrities are.
I don't want to hang out with them. I just want to f*** them.
Okay.
Please don't get me wrong.
All right.
There's no hanging out.
Not hanging out with
there's
them. Okay.
There's
Okay.
Oh, wow.
There's all kinds of
Right.
Yes.
But there's no hanging out whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
Now, I don't want to incur the wrath of you, Sean Connery, but I have to ask, because you're such a big star and it's such a big event that you've done many years in a row, why can't you get better celebrities than Ed Westwick from Gossip Girl, Kelly Pickler from American Idol, and the Geico caveman to walk the runway?
You're right. I should have asked you. I should have asked someone of your caliber to come down and, hey, you giant freak. Hey, Sasquatch, put on a skirt and walk up and down for me.
No, we're not saying that we should do it. We're just saying it seems like you could get a higher level of celebrity.
This is the seventh year. We're running out of people willing to put on a kilt.
I see. Okay.
So we're doing the best we can.
All right.
And frankly, we're doing better than you are.
Well, there's no question about that.
That is true.
So my Scottish...
Okay.
By the way, tomorrow morning on the Tuesday morning edition of Kevin and Bean's show, the great Adam West, TV's Batman, is going to be joining us in studio, and our old friend Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, who's got a new record out too. All of that tomorrow morning right here. First, though, fascinating thing you got to check out on MSNBC.com. Al Roker did an interview about Charles Lynch. Now, this is a name you don't know, but you'll be hearing a lot about it in the weeks to come because there's a very important court date coming for Mr. Lynch, and we thought we'd get Al Roker on to fill us in on what's going on. Hey, Al, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
We're doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us. Your piece on Charles Lynch is unbelievable that this is going on in 2009 America. For folks who maybe don't know the name, how about a brief recap of what his case is all about, sir?
Well, California is one of 13 states that allows a medical use of medical marijuana under certain guidelines, regulations, restrictions, that sort of thing.
Right.
And California is probably the largest state, not probably, it is the largest state, with medical dispensaries, medical marijuana dispensaries that dispense medical marijuana for medical use under a doctor's recommendation.
Now, this was voted on, right? This was one of the propositions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But the problem is, the state law in some instances may be in conflict with federal law, where it comes, and federal law is obviously, in a sense, overreaching. I shouldn't say overreaching, but kind of takes precedence.
Right, right.
Now, in this case, Charles Lynch was one of the folks who used to drive 200 miles to get to a medical marijuana dispensary. Well, he decided to open one up in his town. Followed all the procedures, all the rules and regulations.
All the state rules, all the local government rules.
City ordinances, all these things. And was shut down by the federal government and eventually arrested. Because the case was that they were selling, his dispensary was selling marijuana, in violation of some of these rules. So the question becomes, you know, where does the state law take over? What does the federal law supersede? And is this a valid point? And why it becomes a much more cogent factor, what could be, gives this a much more idea that this is something that is right at the forefront now, is that the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, said that as long as people are in compliance with their state and city regulations,
right,
that the federal government will not be going after, or that will not be a priority, where they'll be going after medical marijuana dispensaries. Charles Lynch is still on trial or awaiting trial for this violation.
So the best thing that could ever have happened to him would be a change in policy from the federal level, which is what it sounds like is happening, according to your words from the Attorney General.
Exactly.
All right, two questions for you. One is, they busted him for selling pot to over 250 minors, and in your piece he said the state law is 18+, the federal law is 21+, so right, basically that was people between the ages of 18 and 21, and the federal government was kind of, what's that?
Yeah, like you said, between the ages of 18 and 21.
Right, so they called that selling to minors.
Yes.
And the other thing is, in his trial he wasn't allowed to mention what? Medical marijuana?
Well, there were a number of people that he wanted to call as witnesses who were going to testify about the efficacy of medical marijuana, and they weren't allowed to do that.
See, now that's what's unbelievable. That almost doesn't seem like a fair trial, Al. If I'm selling medical marijuana and I'm on trial for that and I'm not allowed to mention that it was medical marijuana and I am painted out to be a guy who's just essentially selling street pot to minors, of course I'm going to be convicted. I mean, I don't even understand how that doesn't even have the appearance of being fair.
And unfortunately, look, there's several things at work here. You've got the DEA, which, look, their job, they're just following what the law is, and so they do whatever. Then Charles Lynch gets into the judicial system, and, you know, it's up to the prosecutors. And that's where I think his biggest problems have
because of the prosecutor. How is he not allowed to bring in the state law?
It's a good, very good question, and you'd have to talk to the prosecutor's office about that.
You know, the other discussion we've had on this topic and others like it, Al, is I don't know why laws are allowed to be passed in states that are in conflict with federal law. It doesn't seem like a proposition ought to be allowed to be put on a ballot if it's something that is going to be in opposition to an existing federal law. I don't know why we're ever in this situation.
Well, that's a very good question. And you know, why, you know, lawmakers would propose these things when you know that you're probably going to be in conflict with a federal law. And it's awfully hard to fight the federal government.
Yeah, especially if they don't fight fair, which it seems like this is the case.
Well, you know, look, this is a tough case. I mean, the interesting thing, and you look at medical marijuana, the argument about medical marijuana, and as many people that you can find for it, you can find against it, and so it's a really thorny situation, you know, and nobody is condoning. Just the general use of marijuana.
We are, first of all.
Perhaps you are.
Okay. No, but then don't you think the people who are against it just think that it's just people using it as a loophole? I mean, the guy that you interviewed in your story, the dude that had bone cancer,
lost his leg,
and lost his leg, it was the only thing that kept him from throwing up, and he could actually get a little food down, and it helped with his pain.
You can find medical expert after medical expert who will testify to the efficacy of medical marijuana, and then you can find just as many people who will say, "Oh, it's placebo, it's hogwash." You know, it is, and that's why we decided to do this piece. Is like, look, here are the facts. You come up, you know, we're not going to say yay or nay because that's not our job.
It's my job.
But our job is to kind of shine a light on it and say, okay, here's the deal. Now, what do you think?
We are talking to Al Roker, by the way. The MSNBC documentary is called Marijuana Incorporated, and you can see it at the MSNBC website. The trial date for Charles Lynch, the sentencing date, rather, is going to be on April 30th, which is just around the corner. What does he face if he is convicted?
You know, it's a sizable sentence. I can't, off the top of my head, I cannot remember what it is right now, but it's meaningful jail time. And a substantial fine.
Is this an important case because of the new administration, and it looks like they're not going to fight state laws, and maybe will that trickle down to the prosecutor or judge?
I think it's an important case because I think a lot of states are poised to adopt these kind of rules, these kind of regulations. That a lot of states, I think there's another 10 to 12 states that are ready to make medical marijuana legal.
Right.
You're talking about a sizable number of the population, amount of the population that could be in violation of federal law if policy isn't changed.
Interesting. And the last piece of tape that I saw of Mr. Lynch in your interview, Al, made it sound like he has suffered tremendously as a result of this. And the last thing I think he said on the tape is that he's either lost his home or very close to losing his home as a result of the legal bills for this.
Yeah, look, it's a tremendous financial burden. There have been a lot of fundraisers to help him, a lot of support, a lot of rallying in the community and really across the country. And I think it's an interesting, the outcome of this the sentencing, and in light of this policy shift by the administration, it is going to be a lot of people are watching this.
Now, you talked to Charles for how many hours? I mean, did you just do one interview?
The interview was about 90 minutes long.
Okay. What was your sense? Is he just a guy trying to use a loophole to?
I don't think so. But look, I wasn't in the trial. I wasn't. Do I believe he's somebody who's trying to sell drugs to minors? No, I don't think so. But I don't. Do I know 100%? Absolutely not. And I wasn't on the jury. I wasn't in the trial. But I do think that there seems to be, and the people that I interviewed in the medical marijuana community, there seems to be a sincerity and a real belief that this is worthwhile.
I know is I go to bed every night, Al, praying for glaucoma. That's the only thing I can tell you.
Well, no, you don't.
The documentary can be seen on MSNBC's website. It is a fascinating look. And again, the sentencing is going to be on April 30th. We will be watching it with interest. Al Roker, thanks for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show today. We enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, everybody. How about Craig Wilson? Craig Wilson?
Yeah, Craig Robinson is who Lisa was trying to say. And I think we have Lisa Mae Hasselhoff on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock. Hey, Lisa.
Is that what I said?
Yes, it
I'm
is.
I'm okay.
Because, I knew I said something wrong.
Lisa's on vacation, and she was drinking Friday night a little ahead of time before her onstage announcement.
Wasn't that just the beginning of the show?
It was pretty early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we were doing the backstage party.
Oh, that's when you started drinking, because he was second or third.
He was the second one in the lineup. How could you get that loaded so quick?
Well, I was on Mike's stupid diet, so I had
three get off of it.
Meat and then three drinks.
Wow.
That'll do it. Here's a little of Lisa trying to bring on Kevin Nealon.
I may be a little drunk. I actually started vacation a couple hours ago, so you're going to have to forgive me. I've been drinking. All right. I am super excited to introduce our next act. You know it from Saturday Night Live. He's been in dozens of movies, including the groundbreaking role of Mr. Cheever. Or Cheevely? What is it? Do you know?
Oh, dear God.
Hey, Grandma's Boy?
Yeah, right. We know Lisa.
She's asking the crowd, do you guys know his character?
The groundbreaking. It broke ground.
It was funny. It was supposed to be funny.
Here's what I like about Lisa. She doesn't have that panic that the rest of us have when we're screwing it up. I know I do.
Yeah.
It's like, get off stage now. She was very comfortable up there. No rush.
I had a good time.
And I was thinking, Lisa's out there by herself. If she continues to collapse as she's doing right now, there's nobody who can pull her off the stage. I mean, we just have to sit there and just wait for her to flame out.
Oh, it was rough.
I got Lisa, the name of his book right.
You did, yes.
Craig? I figured out the Craig Wilson name came because Doug Wilson is the name of the character on Weeds.
That's what I thought, yeah. And you mentioned Weeds, so you got those two kind of
mixed up. And Rainn Wilson's on The Office with Craig Robinson.
That's true, too.
My mistake was not realizing that I should shorten the introduction.
No.
Only the things I really know.
No, 20 minutes was recommended. We said about 20 minutes per introduction.
Lisa, did you have a great time? I know you were really looking forward to all the acts.
I loved it. I was never backstage. I was, you know, other than my debacle, I was sitting in my seat watching our comics. It was so much fun.
That was not a debacle, my friend. That was magic. You and Sam brought the house down.
No OC register. I'm clipping that out, and I'm sending it to all my family.
Yeah, you took the heat off the rest of us that were drunk at the event. Thanks, Lise.
Yeah. Yeah, we appreciate it. That's only because they didn't see Omar, who was...
Yeah, what was with Omar and Dave?
Out
and
of his mind. But you know what? Not on stage.
That's what it was. Well, listen, we know you squeezed this in because you're literally on your way to the airport to head out to vacation. Where are you going? Mexico again?
I actually am not going. I'm looping today. I'm not going anywhere.
Ah, she's not. She's loopy. Okay.
She's loopy.
She's
today.
Loopy. Yeah, she's Friday night. Today. She hasn't stopped drinking yet.
Yeah. All right, Lisa. Well, we totally miss you. Come back soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Awesome.
That was funny. I pulled the tape of Ralph's onstage announcement because I thought he was smashed. I mean, watching him, he looked smashed on stage, but he sounded fine when you listen back to the tape. I was so surprised.
He's a functioning alcoholic.
Because I'm a pro. That's why. Don't drink if you can't hold your mug.
Because I remember looking, when you were doing that, I was like, Ralph's drunk right now. But then you don't.
I get off stage like, you were slurring your words, dude.
You were
totally slurring your words. It's like, I don't think I was. Joe Rogan, everybody. Joe Neese's Smoke More Pot.
Okay, you were slurring.
I was doing a joke.
Oh. So was Lisa then.
All right, we'll talk to you, Sam.
He needs to smoke more pot.
We'll talk to the Armenian comedian who got thrilled at the end of the night coming up next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph's got to look at the showbiz beat for Monday. What's going on?
You want to come at me about how I talk when I'm drunk?
Really?
Only when you want to be that guy? Are you sure you want to be that guy?
I think it's fair to point out you were slurring on stage.
Are you sure that you want to be that guy,
sure.
though?
Sure. Corinne Bailey. Okay. An unforgettable moment with Corinne.
Right. We don't have time for that. Sorry.
That's you sober.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not putting myself above you. I'm saying I'm far below you, but you
might
were slurring.
You might want to hand off that ball to someone else as the quarterback, if that's the play you're calling.
There's no one else that can do that. Bean could do that.
He could do that, all right. Yeah.
You were slurring a little.
I was.
It's okay.
Slightly.
It's all right.
But I'm just saying.
You don't have to be offended.
A lot of it was for emphasis.
Sure. Same with mine, usually when I'm in Vegas.
Yeah.
Emphasis.
Okay. I need some Vegas, Kevin, psycho mic for the next show, biz. Maybe we'll bring it on down. We don't have any more?
Nope.
Gone. All gone?
All gone.
Let's take a look at the top 10 box office winners this weekend, shall we? Fast and Furious certainly qualifies as a winner. $72.5 million it made over this weekend.
That's unbelievable.
It's nuts. Obviously, a box office record for the month of April. Monsters vs. Aliens came in at number 2 with $33.5 million. Then The Haunting in Connecticut came in at number 3. Knowing was 4. I Love You, Man was number 5. Adventureland in its debut only made $6 million, but that was good enough to make it number 6 in the top 10. Duplicity, Race to Witch Mountain, that mountain right over there, was number 8. 12 Round was number 9, and Sunshine
75 times.
Cleaning was number 10. It's going to keep until it drops out of the top 10. That's all I got to say. Sad news if you're a fan of So You Think You Can Dance. There must be someone out there, right, who watches So You Think You Can Dance?
Who's a fan of that show?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's the show on Fox. It's like American Idol, only with dancers.
Okay.
I think so.
Oh, and it's any type of dancing? Or?
Yeah. You come in, and then they make, it's like American Idol, where they make you do different kinds of dancing each week.
Oh, they do?
This week is hip-hop week. This week is, you know, jitterbug week or whatever. It's like American Idol for dancers.
Right.
Alex Da Silva is the choreographer who works on that show. He's in a bit of a trouble. Arrested on Saturday, according to TMZ, for sexually assaulting 4 of his dancing students.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. He's going up on rape charges.
Oh, dear God.
Dude.
No kidding.
Reportedly, he assaulted the victims in his home in North Hollywood and another home he has in Van Nuys, California, between March 2003 and March 2009. So it's been going on for some time, apparently. Police believe there may be more than 4 victims, so they're currently investigating to find out if anyone else may have been a victim, allegedly, of this choreographer.
Wow. Do you want to rape America?
I'm going to show you a new dance. It's called Wear Your Ankles for Earrings. Farrah Fawcett, one of the original Charlie's Angels actresses in the hospital, apparently has been in since Thursday. She is suffering from colorectal cancer. She was undergoing treatment in Germany with embryonic cell stem treatment that's not currently available here in the States. And apparently she's in critical condition and has been hospitalized. So, sad news. Because she's been sick for a long time. The upside is her son got busted on drug charges over the weekend. So, she's got that going for her.
Wow.
Yeah, that sucks. Megan Fox and Brian Austin Green apparently are looking for a new love nest. The couple is back on.
No!
According to Star Magazine, and they're looking to buy a beach house to share and to look out over the waves together and make sweet love.
Oh, that's
sweet,
wrong.
Sweet love. That's so wrong. Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams is 72 years old today.
Single clap from Psycho
Mike's big just Lando Calrissian fan, I'm guessing.
First time I ever got drunk was on Colt 45. So
he always had an important place in your heart.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd's 40 years old. Zach Braff from Scrubs turns 34. Candace Cameron Bure from Full House is 33. Brett Harrison, star of The Reaper on CW, is 27. And Deora Baird celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Say good morning to Donald Trump. Hey, Don.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
The greatest program on NBC that follows Kings on Sunday night that is 2 hours long but feels like seven.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Mr. Trump. Why is your show the only show on television that's 2 hours long? Why can Survivor do it all in an hour and you need two?
Because we have so many huge celebrities, so many dramas, mm-hmm. so many amazing tasks that have to be performed that we can only do it in 2 hours.
Okay.
All right.
Amazing.
You say so.
Now, I didn't see last night. What happened last night?
Last night, the people from All Detergent asked both teams to come up with a viral video that would be spread across the internet and cause their sales to skyrocket.
Okay.
Nothing better than a little planned spontaneity.
Sure.
With some viral video that's well-crafted. So the two teams each picked their project manager. Team Athena picked Melissa Rivers.
Oh, dear God.
I stepped up as project manager because I have 15 years of experience in producing live and taped shows.
Yes, she has 15 years producing experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know all those bad shows she did on the red carpet?
Mm-hmm.
All her fault.
Yeah.
Now, Clint Black, he became the project manager for the other team.
I have a fair amount of experience. I've directed 12 or 15 music videos, and I've written two full screenplays. None of them sold.
So we have a battle between crappy country music videos and unsold screenplays and horrible red carpet shows.
Wow. Yeah,
this should be an amazing contest. So the product for All Detergent is their new concentrated formula. Three times as strong, small and mighty. Is the name of the product.
Okay.
And so immediately, all brains turn to midgets. And so Annie Duke, the poker player, comes up with an idea for their video.
I'm just going to throw out there Jesse James being bathed by midgets. There's nobody on earth who won't open that video.
Not doing that.
Jesse James not thrilled about the idea of being bathed by midgets.
Come on.
How can you tell?
And my own son, Don Jr., had some questions about whether midgets was the way to go with this campaign or not.
Beyond that, I think using the word midget could be offensive to some of the executives. I think the appropriate phraseology would be little people these days, and that in and of itself could be a big swing factor.
This just goes to show that my son's an idiot. Midgets are always funny.
That's correct.
Thank you, Donald.
Everyone always loves to see midgets.
That's what we're saying.
Especially on the internet.
That's correct.
Because they look so cute, they're even smaller.
Exactly. You're so right about that, Mr. Trump. I couldn't agree more. Isn't it sad that your son is losing his hair at an earlier age than even you lost yours?
It's a shame he doesn't have a full, luxurious head of hair like I do.
Yeah.
It's a shame he's going to have to go through the pain of that while I still have such beautiful, lustrous hair.
Yes, you do.
You sure do.
Now, the other team also was thinking midgets, as all right-thinking people should.
Of
because
course.
Midgets are hilarious.
Right.
But Chloe's team... They knock it up even one more level.
We did hire a little person to be the masturbator, I guess you would say.
Whoa!
Because the product was small and mighty, so that was going to be like the punchline, I guess.
That is the punchline. It's hysterical.
What just happened?
The only thing you can do better than have a midget in your video is have a midget who masturbates.
What the hell?
With laundry detergent. It's the greatest video I've ever heard of in my life.
I don't even understand.
I would never stop watching it. I'd watch it over and over and over and over again.
As would I.
But unfortunately, their midget couldn't act. The masturbating midget could not act.
Oh, no.
So Clint Black had to take over the role as the masturbator.
What?
You have no idea how horrible these videos were. They really were.
Wow.
And Joan Rivers and Clint Black just went at it like cats and dogs.
All right, I'm going to take a stand here. What is the story? If Clint is doing it, then we don't have a little person to say that. Just tell us what we're doing.
Joan, settle down.
Yeah, but Clint, don't keep it in your head.
Joan, what
are you doing? No, I'm not going to settle down.
Oh, no, she's not.
No, she isn't.
She's going to say her piece.
Yep.
Even if it is the ramblings of an old woman who's lost her mind. Well, in the boardroom, we finally got down to it between Joan and Clint, whether they hate each other or what's going on between them. So I had to ask Joan point blank.
Joan, do you like Clint?
I liked Clint. I hope I never see Clint again. If he comes down red carpet, I will turn my back.
Would you like to see him perform?
Never. I'm taking every CD and throwing it out of my house.
She's throwing them out of her house.
What?
But it is kind of her. If he comes down a red carpet, she will turn her back on him, which I think is a nice gesture.
No,
that's
kidding.
Sure. Yeah.
So she is being polite. Now, we couldn't help but ask her and her daughter, Melissa, who was getting very angry when we started to question Joan, what was the problem with those two. So I couldn't help but mention that perhaps her mother doesn't get along with people because she's a little obnoxious. And my son happens to think that Melissa's a little obnoxious.
You mean she's basically a pain in the ass and somewhat obnoxious.
No.
Do you think your mother's obnoxious?
No.
Do you think you're obnoxious?
No.
Not even a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit she's obnoxious.
Honestly, those two are just unbearable.
A little self-awareness wouldn't hurt either of these women.
No kidding.
Well, the thing was, we took these videos that they made and we showed them to the people at All Detergent to see which one was the winner. Which one did they like best?
Ultimately, the executives from All made the decision. And their decision was that they hated both videos.
Nobody won.
That was the goal, right?
No. They were trying to get them to like them.
Wait, nobody won, so everyone came back in to get fired?
I had to fire two people last night.
Wow.
One from each team.
Okay.
Now, ordinarily, you'd think I'd fire the people responsible for those videos.
Well, I would think so.
Wrong.
Why?
That's why you're not Donald Trump. Instead, I fired people that had nothing to do with the failure of the project whatsoever.
Well, it
makes it a lot more entertaining.
Why?
Because that's fun.
Okay.
And people look really surprised when they get fired. And I enjoy that.
Okay.
First, I fired Tion, T-Boz, T-Bosley, T-O-T-O, T-T, well, who is she?
She's from TLC, I think?
Right.
Or, yeah, okay.
That's
right.
The one, that hurt her.
Okay, all right.
Because when Joan Rivers' daughter, Melissa, came back in, she said, I'll go with you to support you. Big mistake.
Yeah.
So, Tion, you volunteered to come back. You're fired. I'm sorry. Never volunteer for execution.
That's right. Never.
Never.
And she did nothing wrong. Like, she contributed exactly as she was asked to for that video project. Right,
yes,
Don?
But she bored me.
Okay. All right.
So she goes home.
Okay.
And for the other team, you think Clint Black would go home, right?
Right. He was the leader.
Wrong. Khloe Kardashian had a DUI.
Okay.
So there.
Like a year ago, though. What does
I
that have to
like
do with
DUIs?
But
if I had known that you were missing time away from the task because of your DUI, you would have never been on the show. I think it's a terrible thing. And Chloe, you're fired.
That'll teach her to drink and drive.
But didn't she miss time on the task because she had a court appointment in Los Angeles that she had to fly back for, Donald?
Yes.
How well, you want her
she,
to blow that off.
How dare she fulfill her court appointments?
You want her to skip it?
How dare she fulfill her obligations to the court?
Wow.
And drink and drive.
That's how you're going to go.
She's fired. Everyone's fired.
Well, you can't fire everybody.
I stock them deep and fire them cheap.
It seems like
everyone's got to go. I'm having a fire sale.
All right, Donna, we'll talk to you next week.
Unless I fire myself.
Okay.
UFC star Chuck Liddell in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, a quick recap of Friday night's April Foolishness concert. You have to go to KROQ.com for a number of reasons. First of all, there's hundreds of pictures up from backstage and onstage of all the comedians. It was a fantastic event. Really a great time. And thanks again to everybody who bought tickets and came out. Helped us raise a lot of money for Boarding for Breast Cancer. And secondly, there's a new video just posted of the headliner of the night, the Armenian comedian who came on at the very end of the show right after Patton Oswalt. And Kevin, I know this is something that you worked very hard to make happen.
Dream,
I know pretty much we all tried hard to not let Sam take the stage.
Yeah.
But he did, and it happened. And I think we've got him on the phone right now to find out how it went from his perspective. Hey, Sam.
Hey.
How do you think it went, buddy?
Okay, it's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, right.
That's correct. Here's some tape of us trying to bring you on, and a few hecklers in the front were maybe denying your presence, but everybody else really wanted to see you.
We had a lot of conversation at K-Rock about who could close a show like this, who could go after these comedians.
I know.
That's a tall order, isn't it? How do you follow these guys? They're the best in the business. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Put your hands together.
They're already booing. He's not even out here yet.
The Armenian Comedian.
Now, Sam, what did you think of the reaction that you got on stage on Friday night?
It was tremendously enthusiastically very exciting for me to be there and perform. But, you know, unfortunately, you guys didn't have time for me, I guess. I guess the theater, you had to pay the lease. All these things were already out of time.
Right.
That's what you put me on at the last minute. Mm. But I had already performed. I wanted to perform more than that. Yeah. I hope next year and more many years coming on, I'll be more.
Every year.
Yeah.
Every year, absolutely. Here's a little of Sam's act.
How you all doing, Hollywood? Yeah.
That was all of Sam's act, and then the curtain came down right in front of him. That's all he got to say on stage.
Sam,
what
a disaster! Because you had some good stuff planned, I bet.
Yeah, it was. I was prepared very good, and
you were prepared very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they told you it was because the show was running late, and we had to close down. That's what somebody told you about why you were ushered off the stage.
Yes,
that's what I told him.
Okay. Then you should believe that.
That's what I told him. Remember.
And the reason I'm the headliner, because I'm, you know, people went to high school, to college, and then all know me better than all these other comedians.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Now, Sam, you heard all the booing when you took the stage and on all the cheers after you got thrilled and the curtain came down. But that doesn't at all slow down your enthusiasm for your chosen career, right? You're still believing that you're going to be the biggest comic in the world.
Yes, I am, because inside me, everybody individually inside them have a goal and dream. That's all it's all about.
Right.
Who cares the rest?
Okay, now, I just want to clarify. You're saying that you were more anticipated and people loved you more than Jimmy Kimmel, Craig Robinson, Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Ray Romano, Joe Rogan, Jeffrey Ross, Sarah Silverman.
Absolutely.
They were looking forward to your performance more than any of those people.
Yes, people... They said they all came for me. Outside, they were taking pictures, autographs. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
The whole 9 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have the tape of Sam talking into the microphone after the curtain has already come down?
This is right when it came down.
What's up? That's it? Oh, man. They want me, dude. I think they are going. It's over. Well, at least they saw me in real life.
That's right.
I killed them.
That's right. You sure
said,
did.
You said the words, I killed them. All you said was, hi, Sam. Sam, you can think that you're a bigger name than all those comedians. You can't possibly think you killed them.
I did.
Okay.
How?
Well, they should have seemed happy when that curtain came down, I'll tell you that.
You killed them by...
This is not a TV show. This is a radio show.
Oh, I see.
You know...
That's a good point.
You have a TV show, everybody knows your face, and every day, they're tired of it. Once there's something come out first time, the first time experience is the best experience.
That's
it's
right.
It's like a first kiss with your girlfriend.
That's exactly right. I don't know what you're saying.
Or a first hit on the joint.
Right, sure. I know.
Okay. All right. You lost me, Sam. Well, listen, we're glad you were able to make it. I'm sorry that the schedule didn't work out to permit you to have more time on stage.
Maybe you will have a breakfast for me one day.
That's going to happen. Sam, you're absolutely right. You've been demanding that, and we need to do it.
Yes.
I don't know that that'll happen, but I will say that maybe next year we'll give you another shot on the April Foolishness, Sam. Maybe we'll get a chance
and
to make it up
more,
to you.
Many more years.
Sounds like we're out of time, Sam. Sorry,
dude. Gotta go.
Speaking of excitement, Mike, has there ever been a show that has been more custom-made for you and your loves than this one that we're about to talk about?
I don't think so, sir.
Chuck Liddell is on the phone. Good morning, Chuck.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. How are you today?
Certainly, but I'm good.
We appreciate that, and we know you got a lot going on in training for the big fight coming up in the middle of the month. Deadliest Warrior is the show I was just referencing, which sounds like the perfect show for a lot of people who just can't get enough of different ways that guys can get beat up.
it's a fun show.
This is they take a look at the gladiator versus the Native American warrior. And they try to see who's tougher? Is that what this show's about?
Well, that's kind of right. They kind of analyze their weapons and how they use them and how they think they would have done if they fought against each other.
And you're the special guest, and they use you as a barometer of different.
Well, they use me as they use some of the punching weapons from the gladiators. And kind of they measure like punching speed, punching power, and then tried it with the. The glove, well, one was a cestus, which is a glove with spikes, like, kind of like a wrap with spikes.
Yeah.
It's almost like the gloves we wear, but with spikes on them.
Yeah, that seems bad.
And then the other one is even worse. It's called a scissor. It was my favorite. It was it's like a punching thing. Put your hand in this steel thing, and it's got a half moon blade on the front of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that all seems bad coming from
you. Yeah. they had me tested on like a big. Slab of meat, half a cow. The first punch I went on, I think, just to kind of test it, see how it feels punching with it, so I didn't hurt my hand, and I went straight through it. It was like butter.
It went straight through the cow meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They have this cow, this carcass hanging from the ceiling, and Chuck just goes and starts banging on it, and you broke every bone in that cow's body in 30 seconds. I mean, this... Like, I don't know why they don't still use devices like that in combat. It seems like it was so lethal. It made every punch hit so hard.
Yeah, they hurt.
Here's a little bit of the audio from that show.
Without even feeling, I can tell you, just by appearance, these are all broken ribs. You've cut this cow almost in half with your fist.
Yeah. Dude. That seems bad.
Now, Chuck, did you have any interest in this topic before? Are you a student at all of different fighting styles throughout history, or were you coming completely cold to this and learning along with the audience at home?
I was coming in pretty cold. I mean, I always like watching different kinds of stuff, but I didn't know much about it. You know, so it was kind of teaching me as we went. It was kind of fun. I got to try throwing the hatchets too. The Indian guy was showing me a. Guy playing the Apache was showing me how to throw
a hatchet.
Yeah,
that's what you need. That's what Chuck Liddell needs is to learn how to throw a hatchet. Come on.
Now on this Deadliest Warrior show, which is going to air tomorrow night at 10 on the Spike Channel, they're not going to actually have someone playing a gladiator and someone playing a Native American, right? This is all going to be simulated, right?
Yeah, it's all simulated. Yeah, I think they go through they test different stuff through it, and then they do a simulated fight at the end, I think.
Okay, and beyond this one, will they then pick different historical groups to face off against each other?
Yeah, they had a bunch of different ones they were doing, so they just put in a bunch of kind of. I think I'm not sure how they work it. I mean, I think they thought they were doing some kind of tournament, sort of, but to see who was the toughest one, but. Theoretically.
All right, so that's tomorrow night at 10 on Spike, and then you're fighting a week from Saturday, is that right?
Yeah, a week from Saturday. I'm fighting in Montreal against Shogun.
UFC 97.
What do you think of this guy? What's your read on the Shogun?
He's tough, and he likes to come forward and punch, so it should be exciting. Yeah. I mean, as long as it lasts, I'm planning on knocking him out. But, yeah, I mean, he should come after me throwing heavy hands, so... It should be exciting.
Do you like that better when guys come trying to throw punches kind of wild and you can catch them? Or do you like, it seems like you...
Yes. I like that. I like when guys come after me, allows me to, get them to run into something.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't dislike anything, do you? You just, however they want to come at you, you're fine.
Yeah, I like fighting.
What is your, what's your training like a week out?
I probably got about four really hard workouts left. I mean, I'm 2.5 weeks out. I mean, I'm 2 weeks out, just under 2 weeks out. So mm-hmm. I got probably two real hard ones today, two real hard ones tomorrow, and then the rest are kind of just toning down till the fight. So,
is there much of a? I know the fight that you mentioned is in Montreal. Is there much of a scene up there? Or is UFC real popular north of the border?
It's very popular. It's crazy. I think it's been sold out for a while.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's UFC 97 Redemption, and Chuck Liddell will be fighting Shogun, and there are a bunch of other fighters on there as well. Should be fantastic. Thank you, Chuck.
Hey, thank you.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Spike, Deadliest Warrior, and then a week from Saturday, UFC 97. Thanks for...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Plus, we have Dick's Dick's tickets.
What?
Wow. What is that one?
We have Ducks tickets. Ducks. They're the Ducks. They're not the Dicks.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Be a great name for a hockey team, though.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
The Dicks? Sure.
The San Francisco Dicks.
8:50 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning. What's going on?
The Flyers are 1 point away from locking up their position in the playoffs. I know that.
Philadelphia Flyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, talking of hockey. Yeah, what's the magic number for the Kings, Kevin? What is the magic number for
you? Hang on,
team?
Let me see. 2009 and then 2010.
The magic number for you guys. How many 50. Points do you need? 50 points to get in. Well, that probably won't happen this season with a game left.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
This season.
How long ago were they eliminated, Kevin?
Not that long, by the way.
Not that long ago. Everybody gets
they
in
were,
the playoffs.
Everybody but four teams makes the playoffs.
They were
that's
in
true.
Contention much later than everyone thought. Next year, we're going to bring the pain.
I thought you brought the pain this year to a lot of fans, quite frankly. No, good luck.
It hurt.
I like
yeah,
the
thanks. Yeah,
no,
great.
They're a good team.
Yeah, they are.
I think the Ducks are struggling, too, to get in. I think there's a little slot open. They're trying to
how are the Dicks?
Lock down. The Dicks are in.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Have been for some
Whoa.
Time.
Easy.
I'm just saying, they're a good team.
Right.
All right, let's talk about show business, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Fast and Furious. $72.5 million in its debut.
And might I add, ching!
Number one at the box office by far. The closest film right behind it was Monsters vs. Aliens. $33.5 million. So less than half of what Fast and Furious took.
And 33 is way good.
It's huge.
Strong.
It's a huge weekend. Yeah.
Yes. Monsters and Air should be very pleased that in their second weekend they're still making that kind of number.
No kidding.
But doesn't come close to Fast and Furious. Dwarfed everything else.
Now, I know, Ralph, you saw Fast and Furious and liked it.
Yes.
Kevin, you went this weekend. What'd you think?
I loved it. Really? Ralph was right. It's car porn. They start off, they're hijacking a truck
gas
that has gas.
Tanker, yeah.
And they're driving backwards. They're just driving backwards, same speed as the truck's going.
And latching on to tankers and separating them with liquid nitrogen and stuff.
Very realistic.
Awesome.
It's really, I mean, it's fantasy, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's carbon.
And how was Van? Was he distracting or was he perfect for this role?
He was not distracting. Do you think he was that one line that you said?
Every line, every one of those moments they set up.
I didn't think he was
Let's get out of this before it's too late.
It's already too late.
Well, there was that.
Oh, this is the end of my jurisdiction.
This is just the beginning of mine.
There was
every
that.
One of those Rambo right. moments he had was very distracting, I thought.
Everybody else was good, though.
I thought Michelle Rodriguez was the smartest one in the movie, by the way.
Because she got out quick.
You're going to ruin it for everyone now? Is that what you're
going to do? What? No, I said she got out of the gang.
Quick.
that's what I meant.
Where was I? Haunting in Connecticut was number 3. Knowing was 4. I Love You Man was 5. Adventureland turned in. $6 million this weekend. Made it number 6. Duplicity was 7. Race to Witch Mountain? That mountain right over there. Number 8. 12 Rounds was 9. Sunshine Cleaning rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Did you check out WWE 25 this weekend?
No.
Well, then you missed Mickey Rourke taking out Jericho, man. Yeah! Yeah!
I can't get interested in wrestling anymore now that UFC has kind of come on. It just seems too dumb.
Dude, Mickey Rourke got in the ring with Jericho.
I'm sure he did.
And he said, I'm not supposed to do this because I'm contractually obligated to do Iron Man 2 now. I can't wrestle with you. And Jericho said, you're a punk, man. So Mickey had to get in the ring. Had to defend his honor. Pop, pop, pop. Knocked him out. Knocked his ass out.
That sounds real.
With his boxing acumen. Awesome.
Sounds like that happened.
Yeah, that did happen.
That did happen.
See the video.
Nope.
Go watch the video. It happened.
Nope.
Mickey Rourke is really making the most of this career rebirth.
Yeah, he is.
Showing
David,
up at WrestleMania 25. Good on you, Mickey. What's it going to take, Mickey, seriously, for you to stop?
If he'd have won the Oscar, would he still have done this,
do you think?
Of course.
Of course he would have. because he just can't get out of his own way.
Yes, he's him.
Later this week, I'm going to start giving away tickets to the 26th annual William S. Paley Television Festival. We talk about this every year. It is a series of evenings where you get to spend time with the creators and cast of your favorite TV shows. And we're going to give away tickets to all of them again this year. We're starting later on this week. But I wanted to give you a heads up. Some of them still aren't sold out, which is very rare. But if you'd like to buy tickets, you get a special discounted price for being a K-Rock listener if you go to PaleyCenter.org and buy tickets through their website and use the code KROQPF09, all in caps. You'll get a special discounted price of $25 per ticket.
Could you make it longer?
KROQPF for Paley Festival 09. How hard is that?
Okay.
K-Rock PF 09, all caps. $25.
www.voicesfromspirit.com /capital V21
right.
capital N5 uh-huh. /links yeah. .htm.
Okay, right. You guys got that now?
HTM or HTML?
Just tickets HTML, are still available for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, 90210, Dollhouse, Big Bang Theory, The Mentalist, Desperate Housewives, The Hills, Big Love, Fringe. So if you want to go see any of those, you can still buy tickets with that very special K-Rock discounted price. But I'll be giving away tickets for the next couple weeks to the entire festival, so stick around. Battlestar Galactica, I can't wait. I can't wait.
I watched Fringe again last night. That was the one I had on TiVo, and it was where the computers were killing people and melting their brains. The hand came out.
Your brain just leaks out
just
the side of your head.
Leaks right out. Awesome. Awesome.
By the way, we're supposed to have Anna Torv this week, and our producer, Alex, is a whore.
Whoa!
He just screwed it all up.
No.
Just effed it all up.
She has her scooting. Her
the second time. She's scooting?
Her shooting schedule has changed.
She should get her anal glands expressed when she's scooting across the carpet. Now, twice now we've been horked. Thanks to our producer, Alex, who just screwed it all up.
I don't think
it's her
fault.
It is absolutely her fault.
All right.
First, let's have her in person, in the studio, in all her luscious Australian beauty.
That's why you're angry, because it was supposed to be today.
Yes,
when she was going to come in, yeah.
And then it was reduced to a simple phone call later this week.
Yeah.
Now nothing. Getting nothing from her.
Now
nothing.
She's going to send an email, I hear.
She might send us a condolence card.
Sorry you missed me.
It's the best we can get. I love Anna Torv.
Alex standing in the way of a hot chick coming in?
Yes, that's what's happening.
It's not happening at all. She's busy.
She's sabotage. Sabotage. She's using her sabotage.
I don't think she has.
I say sabotage. You say sabotage. Sabotage. You never heard that with Shatner?
The hell are you doing?
Oh, I got to bring that in for you. You've never heard that?
No, I haven't.
It's William Shatner recording an audiobook.
Okay.
And he says, Spock realized that the Klingons had somehow used sabotage to upset. And the guy's like, Bill? Bill, it's us. You said sabotage. It's sabotage. No, you say sabotage. I say sabotage. No, no one says
really?
Sabotage.
Really? He was standing up for it?
He was
awesome.
Defending sabotage.
I like that.
I'll have to bring it in for you. You'll love it.
He's one of Bean's people. Can't say vowels.
That's right. Where was it? Oh, you know it's coming in tomorrow?
Yes.
You know what makes up for Anna Torv not coming in this week?
Duff McKagan?
No.
Yes, he is.
No.
Yes, he
Whatever.
Is.
What, does he make that beer on The Simpsons? Who's he?
Yeah, that's what he does.
Duff's beer, right?
No. Adam Sessler from X-Play. We talk about video games.
You're half right.
Hmm.
You're halfway there. You're halfway home.
Sessler?
No. Adam?
Adam?
Second word?
McKay.
Rhymes with vest?
Vest.
Opposite of east?
East. Vest.
West!
Yay!
Adam West.
Mayor Adam West from Family Guy from Quahog, Rhode Island.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West, Adam West, Adam West.
Ralph's childhood hero.
Apparently, he also did some TV work in the 60s. I'm not familiar with that work, but I know he was on The Family Guy.
And,
he's very popular.
And you saw him on 30 Rock, and he was great.
Yeah, he was very good on that. That's where I first fell in love with him.
30 Rock?
His 30 Rock appearance last week.
I thought you were an old Batman fan.
Was he Batman?
That series back in the 1960s?
Was he? I had no idea.
Pretty sure that's you have a room in your house that's dedicated to that show.
Hmm. Well, I just might have to bring in my Adam West bust then to have him autograph them for me.
God.
Since I have both,
this is Adam West.
The standard,
get a life, Ralph,
and the alternative version of the Adam West busts.
Yeah,
get those autographed,
Ralph. I know you're unlikely to be the kind of guy who'll get a tattoo, but why don't you do what Mike did for Ozzy and let Adam West sign your chest and get it tattooed on? The boy's, he's not going to live forever. How great would it be for you to have an Adam West tattoo for the rest of your life?
Why do you have to bring in the room down? Why does it, when there's joy and happiness abounding, why do you have to bring in, well, you know, he's not going to live forever. Why does that have to be your position?
I wish you could have seen the look on Ralph's face of disgust when you suggested that Adam West was not going to live forever.
Well, the man's He's 80.
That's all. So, and I'm just saying.
So I think that's a given. I think we all know when the guy's 80.
Right.
Maybe
but so I'm saying
he's got more days behind him than in front of him. But I don't think we need to dwell on that. I really don't.
I'm not dwelling on it.
He's coming in tomorrow. Okay.
I'm suggesting.
Mention. We don't have to mention it then.
Kids. You're both just awful.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm suggesting that you may not have that many opportunities to see Mr. West in person. Why not get him to do something that will last forever? Even after he's gone, you can still have a piece of him. That's all I'm saying.
I'm going to get a piece of them. Don't you worry about it. You know what I'm saying?
Guys! Don't you see this is just what the terrorists want us to do? The war is out there, man! Out there! Now pull it together!
A quick email before I get a celebrity birthday.
We got a tattoo guy. We can bring him on down. I'm just saying. You can get his name tattooed onto your chest.
Message received.
Pretty sure that message has been sent
Roger
received.
That. Roger. Over and out.
Got it.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
No.
Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays.
No.
Hey, Ralph, did you
know
there's a new bakery?
No!
Hey, Ralph, did you know there's a new bakery here in Burbank that makes the best carrot pies on earth?
Carrot pie?
Yeah, have you ever had that?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's so good. It's like carrot cake.
Come on.
Oh, it's awesome.
You can't make stuff up out of whole cloth.
Mr. John Allen,
John's
by the way.
John's an a-hole.
I was eating there just last weekend, but who did I see come in but Dr. Drew Pinsky? Even though he was getting something to go, the good doctor was nice enough to shake hands with a few people, and being a huge Loveline fan, I wanted to try to get him to join me at my table. So as Dr. Pinsky was walking out, I asked him if he'd like to kick it with me, and he said he was in a hurry to get back to the office, but I made him an offer he couldn't refuse. I offered him one of my individual carrot pies I was currently enjoying.
There's no such thing. Come on. If you can't do it without making up a pie, don't do it. That pie doesn't exist. This is BS.
Individual carrot pie.
Come on. There's no such thing as carrot pie. And if you have to make up carrot pie to do this, then don't do it. Who's with me?
You're calling BS on this email.
No!
Come on,
Rob. Lo and behold, my ploy worked.
Come on.
He sat at my table?
Gee, I wonder how this ends. Come on. This is pathetic.
We spent about 20 minutes talking before he went on his way. It was cool to spend time with a famous doctor like that. And the best part is for the rest of my life, I can say that.
Come on. Just get to it.
Drew kicked it for pack. Drew kicked it for carrot pies.
I've got two chicken for carrot pies. Watch your way.
Drew kicked it for carrot
pies. Come on.
Pies. Drew kicked it for carrot pies.
Wow. That was not fun to hear.
No! No!
Oh, John Allen, I'm going to send you something special.
John, you are an ass.
You made my day.
Biblical proportions.
That was spectacular.
Bad.
Day's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams, 72 years old today. Paul Rudd turns 40. Zach Braff from Scrubs is 34. Candace Cameron from Full House celebrates her 33rd birthday. Brett
that
Harrison.
Whole thing hinged on carrot pie.
How great was that?
Come on.
How great was that?
I'm calling BS.
We had a parrot vice earlier in the
and that was
the
bad
bit.
As well.
That was awesome.
That was bad as well.
Carrot pies. Awesome. And trust me, they're going to be all the rage now. You're going to see them everywhere. You ever heard of carrot cake?
Of course.
So why couldn't it be
because
carrot pie?
Because there is carrot
so
cake.
So why couldn't it
there
be carrot
isn't.
Pies?
There just isn't.
Ever heard of chicken pot pie?
Yes, of
has
course.
Has carrots in it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Take out the chicken. What do you got? Carrot pies.
You got a pot pie still.
No, you don't. Brett Harrison from Reaper's 27 years old today. And actress Deora Baird from Texas Chainsaw Massacre and from, well, all of our dreams. She's 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Honda, Loretta, I won't take the bus downtown to the graveyard shift. I'm a radical, skip on the boat. And now I'm a radical.
Ruby, so hard.
I
That's a little piece right there of the brand new song from Rancid called Last One to Die. We'll be playing the whole thing for you in minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, the band Rancid, back on the world famous K-Rock, joining us here in the studio. Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How are you guys? Domino's Fall is the name of the new album that's coming out on June 2nd, and it seems like it has been... I don't even remember who was president the last time you guys had a record out. That's how long it's been, it seems like.
6 years.
6 years ago.
6 years, yeah.
When did this process begin? Does it take you guys a long time to make a CD, or do you just whip it up?
Well, you know, this one, you know, since we got Brandon lives out in Utah, and we kind of all went out there just to kind of do something different, kind of shake up the system, so to speak. And we went out there last year, the year before last, I believe, was it?
2007. Like October was the first time.
Yeah, and we started just kind of demoing and writing and stuff, and... you know, just kind of the way we always work is it's just kind of like there's a lot of last minute stuff. There's stuff that kind of starts right from the beginning. You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What we did like in 2007 in October, we went out to Utah for a week, and then in November we went out for a week. In December we went out for a week. So basically, we spent 3 weeks writing the record.
Yeah.
And you can do that anywhere. I mean,
yeah, but
literally,
man.
As long as the four of you are together,
guitar, we'll travel.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
And Brett Groats is our producer, right? He's always our guy.
Right.
So we'd send him tapes, you know, or send them, email them, maybe.
Right.
I'm old school, man. I don't know how this works. but, man, so he was involved from the very get-go.
Oh, that's cool. So then he would give you his response, and you guys would just work it out that way.
Totally.
Hmm.
Now, I have to ask, since you mentioned Brandon, you mentioned Utah. A lot of people have seen Brandon at K-Rock shows and around Southern California with his band, The Used, and now you're out of there and you're into here with Rancid. How did it work out? Because it's got to be one of the toughest things in a rock band, particularly one that's been together as long as you guys have, to fill in, bring in a new member. There must be quite a process to make sure you're making the right choice, because you guys essentially have to live together when you're working.
Well, there was no other choice with Brandon. This is Lars. I'm not trying to answer for Brandon.
Okay.
There was no... tryout session.
There was no thinking, and
you knew he was the dude.
Well, yeah, because we knew he was out of the Used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know, kicked out. I don't know. I don't get political.
I was kicked out. There it is.
But yeah. But listen. So when Brett Reed didn't want to do it no more, Brett suggested a couple of drummers, which were good suggestions. But we immediately thought of Brandon, and I called him up. I said, "Yo, you down?" He said, "Yes, sir."
That was the whole process.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing. And he said, you know what, I would, he was actually rehearsing, to which record?
Yeah, no, like the week before that, I'd been practicing to tons of Rancid songs, you know? Like,
randomly.
Very randomly.
Huh.
Very randomly. You know, I had seen the guys, they played my hometown like 2 weeks before.
Yeah, it was like crazy.
It was really bizarre.
He was hanging out with us on our bus, and we were like, damn. You weren't in a band no more. Like, we couldn't believe it. Because he was always our homie. You know, we toured with him in a Warp Tour.
Uh-huh.
Rancid and the Used were on the same Warp Tour.
That's a beautiful story, man. That's a win-win right there.
That's right. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are talking to Rancid, by the way. The Let the Dominoes Fall is a new album coming out on June 2nd. Sorry to interrupt there, Tim. We're going to be playing Last One to Die here in a minute. So we hear you recorded at George Lucas's Skywalker Sound Studio. Is that in Marin up in by San Francisco?
Not a lot of bands recorded up there, but Brett had some connection, and we went up there.
You guys fans of his?
Star Wars?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm a fan, but not a super fan.
Right, that's what I was asking.
But Brett Gurewitz is like a super fan, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean...
And when George Lucas came to the studio... Brett was like, I never seen Brett Gurewitz starstruck, but he couldn't even. He was like paralyzed. And I was actually playing chess with George Lucas's kid at the time, and George Lucas came into the studio, and Brett couldn't say a word. And I go, Brett, you're so quiet. What happened? You're usually like the guy talking all the time. And he goes, man, George Lucas is like the Pope of entertainment.
There's always that one person that it seems like everybody has at least one that they go quiet around.
Well, exactly. But on the flip side, it's like really hard to do a vocal in a stormtrooper mask. that was a tough
gig. It looks cool. But
yeah, it does. And that's what you really want to do when you're in the studio where no one can see you is
sure.
Look cool.
That's what matters.
You
know?
Yeah.
Of course.
It's part of the vibe.
But then we took the tapes back down to LA and we worked on it in a couple other studios down here, like Sound City and in my house. I got a studio.
Now you're finished with it.
Yes, sir.
But it's not coming out till June 2nd.
No.
That's got to be kind of frustrating.
I want to listen.
You want to get it out, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
Yeah.
You got to wait a couple months, but that's how it works.
Yeah.
This is not well, insane our first rodeo. We know how it is.
Sure.
I want to ask you about some of the song titles on the new album when we get back, but first we want to play the new song, the first single. Now, how was this one selected, Last One to Die? Why did you guys want this one to be first that we're about to hear?
I think you guys heard it.
Oh, we picked
Kevin Weatherly picked it.
How about that? Our boss picked it, Mr. Weatherby.
I thought it was too, you know, I don't know. I don't pick, you know, I write the songs.
He's got pretty good taste when it comes to music, but was that a surprise to you, or do you have any kind of a feel for
I didn't know.
What'll take off?
No, man.
Do you ever have a song that's not, I know you write them all, but not maybe your favorite, that really goes big and then everybody expects you to do it and then you kind of get a little tired of it?
No, I mean, you know, it's like when we write a song, it's kind of like a kid. You know what I mean? You can't really like, it's not, there's no stepchilds in the Rancid set list.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or on a Rancid record. It's like, you know, you love it, you put everything that you have into it, and hopefully it comes into fruition. You know what I mean?
I still love playing Time Bomb.
Yeah.
That's got four verses. I got to be focused up. That one, it's always a good time doing that one.
Well, that's good to hear. There are a lot of bands who literally hate doing their hits, whatever they are. You know, Radiohead won't do any of the songs they recorded before 2000 or whatever.
Well, I think, you know, it's just with us, it's like, you know, each song has got, you know, so much into it, you know, as far as like emotion or whatever, not to get like all hippie or anything right now, but it's just like you put so much of yourself into these songs, it's like you can't hate them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think
and that's where we were at that time, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's how we've always been with our records, you know, like where we're at that particular time.
Exactly.
It is so great to have you guys back. We have missed Rancid. And again, we're going to be playing the brand new song here next. And don't forget, you can see Rancid along with Rise Against. How's that for a double bill on Saturday, July 11th?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. Quick break. We'll come back. Here's some Rancid. Talk more with the boys right after this. It's Kevin Bean, Cinco de la Tarde on the world famous K-Rock.
Rancid in the studio.
How about that?
Just very excited.
The brand new song moments ago, Last One to Die, here this afternoon. It's from the new album called Let the Dominoes Fall, which is coming out on June the 2nd. The guys were just telling us it is done, but they can't release it yet. We got to wait. Got to wait a few more weeks for it to come out on June 2nd. But man, I'm excited about that. Let me ask you about a couple of these other song titles, because there's some interesting titles on the. What's L.A. River about? What's that one going to be like?
Well, you know, we've always kind of like written songs about like whether it's the neighborhoods we've grown up in or the cities that we've visited and have like a, you know, affinity to. And L.A. River is like, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, L.A. is like an important town for us just because it's like, it's almost like a second home for us. And to write a song that's kind of about like a, you know what I mean?
That song, L.A. River is about, you know, a kid who comes to Los Angeles to make his dreams come true. And it doesn't really end up as how he plans it, you know. So it's it's like a Rancid story kind of song. What was that?
And one more, you have a song called New Orleans.
Yeah, it was initially called Love Song to New Orleans was the first title, and it just ended up being New Orleans. And you know, we going back to when we and Matt were in Operation Ivy 20 years ago, we toured through New Orleans in 1988.
First time.
I always felt an affinity towards that great city.
It's one of the most unique cities, you know, in the country, and there are just very few cities that you can say that about.
That's right.
That's
and so that, you know, when everything went down there and it was very sad to us, so we wrote a song about how we love the city, and kind of like a friend, when a friend's down, you got to stand by your friend when they're down, you know, so... That's kind of how we feel about that city, man. I love that place so much.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
So, and what else can we expect from this summer? You're touring with Rise Against.
Yes.
How long is that tour?
I think it's like
2 months?
It's a couple months. Yeah.
2 months?
Yeah.
We're just totally stoked because those guys are so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for them to, like, you know, take us out with them, you know, it's like, it's so super cool. We're really looking forward to it because they're just one of the best bands I think that's out there right now, and it's an honor for us, you know. So
I'm sure if we had them in here, in fact, I think they've mentioned you to us before. It has to freak them out that they're on a bill with you guys.
It's nice to be. I'll tell you what's nice though. It's nice to be able to go to a show and not think, all right, I still have another 45 minutes while the opening band is going on.
Right.
To show up, you know what I mean? Like to have two bands that you love seeing.
Well, let's hope people are thinking like you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really nice.
Well, this sounds fantastic. It's called Let the Dominoes Fall, and we just heard Last One to Die, which, of course, is going to be the first single, I guess. It was the first one that we heard.
That's the one that's out, right?
Here on K-Rock.
And let me ask you about one more thing from your website, too. I guess it's on your MySpace page that I'm not quite sure I understand. Now, this is for Rancid fans. You've got a deal going with Widgets where they can win free tickets to see the summer tour. How does that work, if you can explain it to me?
Well, I believe the way it works is that you sign up, right? And then at the day, which is today, it should have been today.
Okay.
You get the song.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of like a thank you.
That's the way to get the song first.
Yeah. And then you spread the widget. You're trying to get people to spread it around, and I guess they get points for doing that, and then whoever gets the most points gets free tickets. That's how I understand
yes.
it. Anyway.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds
I think Bean understands it better than you four.
I'm looking at your faces.
Honestly, it's one of Brett Gerowitz's ideas.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I like it. But
yeah. All right. You can find it all out at myspace.com/rancid.
It's kind of like, you remember that thing, it's if it's okay if Frank says, it's
sure.
okay if Brett says.
Sure, of course.
Yeah,
there you go.
He's brilliant. We love him.
Well, we love him, too. Yeah. I mean, that's why he's pretty much produced all of our records.
Well, you're seriously, guys, you know, we've been talking to you for many, many years here on K-Rock, and your music is one of the best things about working here, and we're so psyched to have you back out there this summer.
Thank you
very
much.
Yeah, thank you.
And I know we're not officially allowed to ask, but if, you know, if you're around in the summer, I'm just saying.
Yes, I'll marry you. Yes, I will marry you.
If you're around in the summer, I'm just saying we got a place you can play. That's all I'll say. Just keep it in mind. That's all I'm saying.
We would love to play that.
Yes, for sure.
When? All right, guys.
Oh, sorry.
Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday afternoon. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm trying to figure out how to make my machine work here.
That's a good question.
Fix it in post.
What do I do to get that going? Open directory. There you go.
There you go.
I know it's
there you go.
It's ridiculous of me to ask, but could this thing be ready to go and operational before I start the show?
Are you joking?
No, I know it's insane. I know I'm being super demanding.
Wow.
But
picky.
If this machine, and I know it's new, and I know we're not used to using it yet,
it's just a camera.
Be ready to go before I start the showbiz.
Do you think that would work out better?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
It would help me.
It's a good thing the guys from Rancid are gone now. They don't have to see this ugliness.
It is.
This is a living hell.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? All right, let's.
Yes, we shall.
Fast and Furious, $72.5 million. That's money.
$72 million.
It sounds like what you're saying is there's a Fast and the Furious 5 that has to be being written somewhere today, right?
And I'm telling you, those four actors should be lining up with their hands out saying, see what we can do?
Yeah.
Give it to me. Monsters vs. Aliens came in at number 2 with $33.5 million, which in any other week would seem impressive. But it
would have destroyed the field any other week.
The Haunting in Connecticut was number 3, then Knowing, I Love You Man, Adventureland in its debut made just $6 million, but that was good enough to make it number 6 in the top 10. Duplicity, Race to Witch Mountain? Why, that mountain right over there. Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Hate you.
$3.4 million.
Whoa.
12 Rounds was 9, Sunshine Cleaning came in at number 10 to round out your top 10 at the box office. This weekend, original Charlie's Angels actress Farrah Fawcett. Suffering in the hospital as we speak. She was admitted Thursday, apparently, and she has suffered a relapse of the colorectal cancer, which she's been battling for some time now. Word is she's in critical condition, so looks like things are not going well for Farrah Fawcett.
That's rough.
However, her son, Redmond O'Neill, Ryan O'Neill's son as well, was arrested on drug charges over the weekend, so at least she's got that to lift her spirits.
Mm.
I'm sure.
Wow.
That's a bad life when you've got cancer and an a-hole for a son.
That's a bad one-two punch.
That is sad.
I didn't know a lot of women got the anal cancer, Ralph. I mean, that's something you traditionally think about the men getting.
Yeah, I think everybody can get anything, but there are certain, you know, like we were talking about Friday with the people from Boarding for Breast Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, men can get breast cancer as well. It's just not widely experienced.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of that, on Friday, in this hour, we were talking to the Boarding for Breast Cancer people. And Miss Cleo had offered to do a breast exam with them.
Yeah,
They can give me a breast exam, she said.
Yeah, I remember her volunteering.
Yeah. She was standing by in that super hot dress.
Right.
And then Bean says, oh, we're out of time.
Bean, he did say that.
We're out of time.
He did say
that. Well, he's in a rush to get back to RHCP or Sublime. She's standing by ready to have a breast exam. And Bean says, no.
In his defense, we were out of time.
We were out of time. And I would have loved to have seen
I also
got the sense, and Ralph, tell me if you felt this too, that the ladies, as great as they were and the excellent work they were doing from the Boarding for Breast Cancer, didn't really seem to be that wacky.
Oh, I wouldn't have cared about them. I would have just put them on the spot and say, do it!
That's what I'm saying!
Fondle her! I would have made her do it. But I did think we were running a little late in that segment. Just saying, if we run late, then the whole show, the whole station runs late. Right. See what I'm saying?
We get yelled at, yeah.
We get yelled at.
Right. We're out of time for this conversation, in fact.
Exactly.
Guys are bad.
You know, they're bringing back Melrose Place on the CW, and apparently they're bringing back some original cast members as well. Just announced Laura Layton is coming back to the show. She played Sydney Andrews on that show. Now, wasn't she the one who was going out with Michael, the doctor?
Are you really?
Yes. Yes, she was.
But Marcia Cross from Desperate Housewives, she played the crazy one who came back afterwards with the big gash in her head and everything, was wearing
That's
the wig
right.
and whatnot, right?
Yes. The only thing I remember about that show is they lived in an apartment complex.
On Melrose Place?
That was it.
That's where
that got blown up
my
at the
whole,
end, right?
Whole memory. That's right. It got blown up, I think, by Crazy Marcia Cross.
I think so, yeah.
Not mistaken.
I don't know. It's been a long time, Ralph. I get my redheads confused as it is.
I just remember Sydney was hot.
Okay. She was very hot, yeah.
And if you want to be Spider-Man in the new Broadway musical, Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, then I've got your audition information.
It can't be the real permanent
it's
title.
It's called Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. That's what I'm telling you.
All right.
And the audition is going to be the 18th of this month, April. I want to give you plenty of time to start working on your song. But it's going to happen at the United Methodist Church in Hollywood, which is right at the corner of Franklin and Highland. Sometimes it's known as the AIDS Church because it's got that big red ribbon on it.
Oh, okay.
And what do you think? You got AIDS when you went there?
No church has got that.
So it's going to be 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They're going to be looking. You don't have to be a pro. You know, if you think you're someone who doesn't have a lot of experience, but you have what it takes to be on Broadway, looking for guys age 16 into their mid-20s to play Spider-Man. That's right. And he wants them to play Spider-Man, too. He has a costume for him and everything. Mary Jane, same age range, 16 to 20s. You have to be beautiful. You have to be able to sing and dance somewhat. And then the lead female villain role is a woman from 25 to 35, who they say, think Sinead O'Connor with a Middle Eastern Bulgarian Greek twist. Over the weekend, I did the Middle Eastern Bulgarian Greek twist, and it is dangerous.
Is it?
Be careful.
You look like you're still okay, though.
Use lots of lube.
You got
all
through
I'm
it.
Suggesting.
So to speak.
So for more information, you can email spidermancasting@gmail.com, and they will send you all the specifics. I hope you get it. That'd be cool. I'm waiting for Batman the Musical. That's what I'm waiting for.
How has there not been that so far?
That's what I'm talking about.
That's a good question.
Imagine me and Adam West on Broadway together.
Oh.
Yeah, I could be Robin to his Batman.
That poor bastard.
Slide down the bat poles together.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
He's going to be in tomorrow if you want to hear Ralph.
He sure is.
Slobbering all over our guest.
Cannot wait to hug him.
Yeah.
Is he staying at your place tonight, Ralph?
He's not. No.
He doesn't stay with you when he comes to town?
Not yet.
Okay. He avoids at all costs.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Billy Dee Williams is 72 years old today. Paul Rudd turns 40. Zach Braff from Scrubs is 34 years old. Candace Cameron from Full House is 33. Brad Harrison turns 27 years old. He, the star of Reaper. Deora Baird. He's 26
what?
Years
what just
old
happened?
Today.
Boobie!
Her breasts are just nuts.
Actually, well, she's a if I remember correctly, she's a 32F, I think, isn't she, Mike?
7'7 number like that. Natural.
Too. Yeah,
natural.
Yeah. She's it's unbelievable.
It's uncanny.
And a gorgeous girl, too.
And I also would like to thank all the listeners for sending in their recipes for carrot pie today. I appreciate it. We get a lot of that this afternoon.
Stop it.
Tomorrow we'll talk more about carrot pie and how it exists.
No.
Guess we will.
Don't see that happening.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.